BBC 97.3.
Ian Lee's Good Evening. Good Evening.
At 8 o'clock in the morning, I'll have fish and a rice cake. At 10 o'clock, I'll have fish. At 12 o'clock, I'll have fish and a rice cake. At 2 o'clock, I'll have fish. At 4 o'clock, just before I train, I'll have fish and a rice cake. I'll train. I'll have me fish. I'll come home, have some more fish with a rice cake, and then have some fish before I go to bed.
Gary Shiffman.
Why's the monkey in the fridge? Cause Gary Shiffman put him in there. Why is the elephant in the fridge? Gary Shiffman put him in there. Gary Shiffman. And the monkey Gary Shiffman. Gary Shiffman and the monkey, yeah. And the lion Gary Shiffman. Gary Shiffman. He's in the jungle. Gary Shiffman's in the jungle.
Piccadilly, Carnaby Street, swinging London, Marble Arch to Regent Street,
swinging London, loony donkeys everywhere, singing love you, moving around without a care.
Swinging love you. Swinging love you. Swinging love.
Chelsea Strand and Baker Street. Swinging London. Charing Cross Trafalgar Square. Swinging London. Everywhere it's in the air.
Number nine. Number nine. Number nine. Number nine. Number nine.
Why is the monkey in the fridge? Gary Shipman. Day four in the Gary Shipman house. He loves Gary. And it's a Gary Shipman.
Gary Shipman. Drive me out of bed in the morning.
Gary Shipman. I like Northerners because I'm Gary Shipman. What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? Gary Shipman. Gary Shipman.
I'm Mr. Shipman.
Hello, and the choice is Bob. Yeah.
Sorry to drag me out of bed in the morning.
Hello,
is Gary there?
Yes, swing in London, everybody.
Yeah, Gary Shipman.
Swing in London, beat production, soul and blues. Swing in London, revolution underground. Swing in London, groupies, hippies, traps around. Swing in London, swing in London.
Gary is Gary. Gary. Gary Shiffman. Gary Shiffman.
Gary Shiffman. Gary Shiffman. Gary Shiffman. Gary Shiffman. Gary Shiffman. Gary Shiffman.
Gary Shiffman. Gary Shiffman.
Gary Shiffman.
Gary Shiffman. Gary Shiffman. Gary Shiffman. Gary Shiffman.
Gary Shiffman.
On LBC 97.3.
Oh, 870-9090-973. I couldn't have put it better myself. What a delightful start to the show, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Very special show this evening. 8 o'clock, Professor Joe Lavens, Joseph Lavens. I've got to find out whether he wants to be called Joe or Joseph. I don't know. He's coming in to talk about UFOs. So after 7:30, and can we do this seriously? I don't want anyone... I know the psychic show gets a lot of people phoning up and taking the mic. We're doing this 100% seriously, okay? He's over here at the moment doing some lectures and stuff like that. So can we do it seriously? After 7:30, 0870-9090-973 is the phone number to call up. If you've got any UFO stories, anything that may have happened to you, or even if you disagree with them and you want to have a row with Gary, Gary Shiffman. Who the hell is Gary Shiffman? And how has he invaded my conscience so much that I'm now thinking about him? Oh, man alive. Let's take some more calls straight to air, though. Let's go to line 8. You're on the wireless.
Good evening.
Is that Gary Shiffman?
You what?
No, oh, I don't. Gary Shiffman's on the brain.
Who's that?
Exactly. Who's that? I don't know. Anyway, what can I do for you?
How you doing, big fella?
I'm all right. I've had a good day today.
That's good.
Yeah.
Did you get my email?
Which one?
I sent you a couple. One... with, hopefully a bit of assistance with your cleaning lady.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
Oh, I sent it last night, or this morning. I sent it last night.
Okay, what was the other one?
I was having a bit of a whinge about the podcast.
Oh, is the Sunday night podcast not up now? Because we changed it yesterday, and they put the new version up, which should be longer.
It's been crap all week. Like Nick Abbott's show finished halfway through.
Oh, well, yes. Have you tried to download the Sunday Night Triple M one today?
I haven't, sir.
Try again and do let me know, because we've had a little bit of problems with it. I think it's been... It should be fine now, but I don't know.
No problem.
All right, fella.
I was fired... I was going to tell you the other day. I fired a 44 Magnum the other day.
And did it feel sexy?
I tell you, it's a hell of a recoil on it.
Good lad. 0870-9090-973. More calls straight to air after this. It's the Joyce Master General.
It is, and there's loads going on in the tubes this evening, so we'll start with the central line. Still not running between Liverpool Street and Leytonstone following that derailment earlier near Mile End. Now, it doesn't look as though the situation is going to be back in time for tomorrow morning's rush hour, so expect big problems again tomorrow morning. Now, they have set up a series of replacement bus services, and you can use your tickets on that local...
Gary Schiffner. Is that his name? Okay, you can start emailing in, by the way, if you've got questions for Joe Lavens, the ufologist. You can email them in, ian@lbc.co.uk. A few of you have done that already. He'll be on at 8 o'clock, but after from 7:30 onwards, you can start booking your place to talk to him. I urge you to call up sooner rather than later, because I know that when other shows, an old LBC have done this kind of thing, and on other stations... and I know from hearing Joe on other stations, the calls get booked up pretty quickly. We've only got it for about 45 minutes, I think. So do try and get your call in as early as you can. But for the next 10 minutes or so, we'll have a bit more Triple M. Line 10, you're on the wireless. Come on, pick the phone up, boy. Too slow. Let's go to line 8, you're on the wireless.
Hello, who's Gary Schiffman?
I don't know. Who is Gary Schiffman?
Gary Schiffman! Gary Schiffman! He's Schiffman in all the way. Do you know who he is?
No, who is he?
I think I love him. Do you love him?
I think I'm beginning to love him.
Why?
Because he just sounds like one of those crazy guys.
But what's his real name? Is it Gary Schiffman or is it Schiffman Gary? Or Gary Schiffman? Gary Schiffman!
Yeah. yes, Line 10, you're on the wireless.
Have you signed my mouse, Matt, yet?
Can I just say my cleaner came today?
Oh, go on.
She did a fantastic job.
Oh, I've lost my list of questions.
She loves the new Hoover.
Does she?
Oh, she has done a superb job.
She?
What?
Did she stroke it?
I wasn't there when she was using it, but I came in, I said, Hoover good? She went, oh, yes, Hoover good. So she's done a blinding job. Any doubts I had have completely gone.
Right, okay, so you're just happy. She's got your keys and now it's just going to be part of your life.
Yeah, she's part of my life now.
Excellent. Ian, Red Bull Air Race, what do you think?
Is that the thing where idiots jump into the river?
No, it's where they actually fly the stunt planes around in Docklands on the 28th and 29th of July.
Yeah, go on, I'll have a go. What do you want me to do?
Well, I've got some tickets and I bought the really expensive ones thinking that they would sell out really quickly. I was going to put them on eBay and they're not going.
Well, you're a fool.
Have you ever done anything like that?
No, because I, Damien, am not an idiot. You're going to call up and speak to our ufologist later?
If I think there's something suitable to say to him. Does he have a cleaner?
Oh, for goodness sakes. Let's go to line 8, you're on the wireless.
Hello, why is the monkey in the fridge?
Is it because Gary Shifton put in there?
Yes, definitely.
Yes, definitely. I hope there's someone at home laughing at this and not sobbing into their tea. 10, you're on the wireless.
Hi, Ian.
Hello there.
Hi, just phoned up. What's all this, at the start of your show, the fish and rice cakes?
What?
What's, you know that guy at the start of your show?
Oh, it's a fella from a documentary that a friend of mine sent to me. It's on YouTube. You type in rice and fish cakes, and fish and rice cakes, and he comes up. And he was from a documentary about a guy that wanted to be a weightlifter or a bodybuilder or something, and that was his diet. That's his daily diet.
Oh, that's for real, then?
Yes. Yeah, it's a real genuine clip.
Yeah, I thought it sounded pretty good. Do you reckon the recipe's online as well?
Is what?
Do you reckon the recipe's on the line as well?
I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing it. If anyone can find it and send me a copy, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Cheers, fella. Oh, I've got to thank Timo for sending me Doctor Who. I watched it today. Man, the episode he sent me was like 3 weeks ago, where they go to the edge of the universe. It was the best Doctor Who I've ever seen in my life. The best Doctor Who I've ever seen in my life. 3, you're on the wireless.
Knock, knock.
I think I know where this is going, but I'll play along. Who's there?
Gary.
Gary who?
Gary Schiffman.
good guy. oh, God. I don't want to read the papers tomorrow and find someone has killed themselves as a result of this. Line 7, you're on the wireless.
Oh, hi, it's Gary.
Hello, Gary.
Do you still speak to Mackenzie Crook?
Do I still speak to him? Yes.
Good.
Was that it?
He's doing all right, isn't he?
He's doing very well, yeah.
I see him in the new Paul McCartney video.
Yes, he spent the day hanging out with Paul McCartney, and now I believe they're friends, which is an amazing turnaround.
Have you listened to the album yet?
Do you know, I haven't, and a friend gave it to me for my birthday. I've listened to track 2, which is good.
Yeah, they're all good except for the single.
Yeah, the single is a little bit dodgy, isn't it? That's not quite so good, but I've heard track 2, and it sounds like an early Wings song, when Wings, get this, kids, were actually quite good. I've not listened to the rest, but I will do. I've heard good things about it.
That's all.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
I felt like he was probing me there for a second. I just got the feeling I was being probed. I don't quite know why. Let's go to line two. You're on the wireless.
All right, Ian. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Did you get any chance to listen to Bill Bottley last night?
No, I didn't get any chance. I had the worst travel sickness I've ever had last night, so I didn't hear him.
If you get a chance, listen to the news.
Oh, why?
I think it was the first half hour, or on the first hour.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. You get a chance to listen to that, it's unbelievable.
Why, what happened?
All of it.
Well, thank you for that.
No, but do you want to know?
Yeah, well, yeah, go on. I thought you weren't going to tell me. Yes, of course I want to know.
I thought the bloke was having a heart attack all the way through.
Really?
And when it come to the end, he'd had to run from downstairs to upstairs.
Yeah. So he was knackered?
He was just... It sounded like he was having a heart attack.
Well, thank you for that. If anyone can play that to us down the phone, or it was any good... 0870-9090-973. 8, you're on the wireless. You're too slow. Line 10, you're on the wireless.
Hello, Ian.
Hello there.
Did you get arrested in Pakistan?
I didn't get arrested, but I did get held at gunpoint by, I think they were the army, not the police.
Get away.
Seriously, yeah.
Good Lord. I was told by a friend who was reading your site that, you got arrested.
I didn't get arrested. Well, I was in one of those little tuk-tuks on my own for the first time at being in Pakistan. I was on my own. And it went down this little alleyway. We got stopped by the army. Now, the army are almost as corrupt as the police over there, so I was cacking myself. I had a rifle pointed at me for a little bit, and they were trying to take me away. And I was going, no, 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 no! And luckily, now, this is really odd. By coincidence, well, the reason I was out is I'd gone to buy the local paper because there was a picture of me and my friend on the front of this local paper because we were making this film. And so I was showing them this picture going, that's me, I'm doing a film. And they didn't speak any English and it was scary, but I didn't get arrested. I was there for about 10 or 15 minutes.
Did you mess yourself at all?
I cacked myself, mate. Of course I did. I was terrified. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I was terrified. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Do you know what the difference between me and you is?
You're Gary Shiffman.
No, I'm real and you're just phony.
Okay, and there's another difference. Oh, he's gone. Well, let's hang on. I've got to tell him the other difference. The other differences are, I've seen a naked lady. He's put the phone down. He must have dropped the phone there. That's no good. Let's try and get him back, can we? How do we, where is it? This thing, here we go, let's try this one. Let's get rid of some of these. He won't answer now. He'll bottle it. Oh, and I've dialed Basil. I didn't want to do that. Oh, goodness gracious me. Dial that one. He's not going to answer. Yeah, another... I can do this all night. I can actually make a three-hour show out of this. Another difference is, I've seen a naked lady, and indeed slept with her, and another difference is, I have a job that pays me quite well. So those are two other differences.
Oh, you're angry.
No, I just want to make sure you're aware of all of the differences. Yes, you're real and I'm phony, but also, I have slept with a woman, and I get paid quite well. Whereas, I don't think you have either of those two things, have you? No. Well, thanks, Vinny.
Bye.
Bye. 2-1 to me. That's not bad odds. Let's do a few more if we can. Let's go to line one. One, you're on the wireless.
Yeah, it's Schooner.
Hey, Schooner.
I saw that advert you were talking about with the blokey at the DFS thingy.
Oh, the MFI.
The MFI.
Where they're ironing in the shop.
and he goes mental, and then the bloke walks in, and also it falls away.
Isn't it? I think it's hilarious. I watched it again the other day, and I was wetting myself laughing.
I was going to record it and then play it down, but then I pressed the wrong button, the old plussy, and lost it.
Yeah, well, so, do you know, someone played it down the phone, and it didn't work quite as well, and I don't know why, but I think it's just hilarious, that advert.
Yeah, well, when I actually saw it, I thought, what was it going on about? But then just thinking about it then, I actually just laughed myself to sleep.
It, You laughed yourself to sleep on an MFI advert?
While driving.
Screw that. Listen, good lad. Thank you for that. Fantastic. It's a brilliant advert. Two of you on the wireless.
Hello there, Ian. I wanted to know if you've ever had a UFO experience yourself.
That's the worst Pakistani accent I've ever heard. Yes, I have had a UFO experience, and I'll be talking about it after 8 o'clock with my guest.
Okay, brilliant.
Thank you. Go on, line 10. Have you thought of another one?
During this American geezer is coming, is he really from America?
Joe Lavens, yes.
Yeah, what part?
Well, why don't you phone up 8 o'clock and ask him? In fact, no, don't bother, because we're only going to have decent callers coming through. Good evening. And finally, line 4, you're the last call on the Triple M.
Hello, are you watching Big Brother?
No, I'm doing a radio show.
Well, that Gary Shiffman, is he watching it?
I don't know, he's not here with... Where's Gary Shiffman gone? He was here a minute ago.
Do you want to see a picture of him?
Yes, please.
I don't know. How can we get one?
Can you email one to me?
Can we just say his name really loud? Maybe he can.
Say it really loud one more time.
You first, then me.
Gary Shiffman!
He's gay.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not very nice. We'll stop that then. Oh, it's this.
It's that time of year. 90-90-973.
Okie dokie. We're just, okay, so don't forget, 8 o'clock, Joe Lavens is coming in to talk about UFOs. Any experiences you've had, or your family or friends have had, anything you've read about it. He's also especially interested in talking about potential government cover-ups and what the government... it turns out the government knows a lot more about these UFO sightings and visitations than perhaps they're letting on. Why aren't they telling us what's going on? Do they fear mass hysteria? Are they worried that we're all going to be panicked? We'll hopefully find out. If you've got any questions for him, you can email me, ian@lbc.co.uk, or you can... What was... Did we... 0870-90-90-973. That was weird, wasn't it? Deary me, that was weird. Let's see who's on line two. Line two, you're on the wireless.
You are on wireless.
Yeah, that's you.
That's me.
Yes.
Is that you?
This is me. But is that you?
Yeah.
Well, who are you?
My name is Eve. Or I sound more like Adam at the moment.
Hmm. Well, hello, Eve.
Hello.
What can I do for you? Eve?
Yes?
What can I do for you?
I wanted to tell Ian how elephants get out of cherry trees.
I think they fall out, don't they?
You don't understand the whole joke.
You're speaking to Ian, you're on the radio now.
I'm not.
You are?
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry about my voice, but I've just had a couple of wisdom teeth out.
Never apologise for your voice.
I will.
Never. Unless you're James O'Brien.
And I've got a broken foot. So I'm not feeling very comfortable.
I bet you're feeling very uncomfortable.
Definitely miserable.
Yeah.
And depressed.
I bet you are. Well, do you want to tell us the punchline to the joke?
What?
About the cherry trees.
I was going to write it, but I can't write no more.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I'm paralysed.
Gosh.
And I miss. Cherry, what they do is they sit on a leaf,
yes,
and wait till autumn comes.
There we go. Well, Eve, thank you for that. Eve?
Yeah?
Thank you for that.
So I can't say hello to Ian.
You're speaking to Ian. I'm Ian.
You're not Ian.
Yes, I am. How can I prove to you that I'm Ian? Eve?
Do you know about Mary?
Mary who?
With a little van.
Hang on 1 second. Line 6, can you help me?
And the answer is 2 small tomatoes and a cucumber.
Yes. I don't know about Mary and her little lamb, Eve.
Ian does.
I'm Ian. Can you listen? If you listen, you can hear us having this conversation on the radio a few seconds ago. That's us.
I can't turn the radio off.
Okay. Well, Eve, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Do call again.
I don't know. I'm not one for talking on radio.
I know, but thanks very much for calling, Eve.
I always write.
Yes. Well, you take care of yourself, love. Take care, Eve. Bye-bye. I'm going to put the phone down now, so don't be surprised.
I won't be surprised.
Okay, Eve, here we go. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, there we go. Okay. 0870-9090-973 is the telephone number. Did we get that dump earlier on? I nearly gave up my home phone number. I started giving out my home phone number and I thought, what? Oh, I should dump that, shouldn't I? I didn't give out enough for the kids to work it out, but I just started doing that. That was weird. Anyway, Joe Lavens is coming in at 8 o'clock. If you want to book a call with him, 0870-9090-973 is the telephone number to call. And you could possibly talk to him. We're getting lots of emails in. I think we're getting lots of emails, and I'm guessing that perhaps one or two of you are a little bit shy to phone in and talk to him. Don't be shy. But we've got stack loads of emails, so, hang on, I'll take this one, so. Yes, line 5, you're on the wireless.
Yeah, just wanted to know if any of your callers know where to find, a shop called Webbs in Northwood. It's a special candle shop, I can't find it.
It's a special candle shop?
Yeah.
What's so special about the candles?
I don't know, but my friend's told me about it. I need some candles, for my candelabra.
Right, but what's so special about these candles?
I really don't know, but I just want to know where the shop is.
You can just get candles in Tesco's.
I don't know, Ian. I don't know about that, but not...
Well,
not,
I do...
Not candelabra.
Well, why don't you look on the internet?
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
I'll try that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
There we go. It's a weird one tonight. It's, it's definitely, some of this. Oh, gosh. Right, 0870-9090-973. We'll get there eventually. I tell you what, I saw a fella today, and this is kind of... this music fits this. He was on the train, right? He's a grown man, probably about... he was on a bus. 40 years old. He was wearing dungarees. He looked like a pervert. Do you know what I mean? He looked like a pervert. No one wears dungarees. Actually, this isn't dungaree music. Let me find some dungaree music. Hang on a second. Some dungaree music,
Dr. GQ and Mr. Hyde.
Oh, no, that's Japanese Jekyll and Hyde, isn't it? Let's find, No, that's not it. Find... Oh, yeah, this is more like it. So, this dude was wearing dungarees. I thought, if you can't be a 40-year-old man wearing dungarees, that just looks weird and a little bit pervy. I remember having dungarees when I was, like, 8, and even then just thinking, these don't look right. There's something, there's something odd about wearing dungarees. Oh, and I tell you a thing I've been doing. The last couple of days I've been doing this, and I've been genuinely enjoying it. Francis?
Ian, how are you?
Well, I've had a dramatic change in my life over the last couple of days.
What's
happened? I've become a batty rider.
A what?
You know when you have your jeans around your bum?
Yeah.
I think that's what they call it. Well, that's what I've been doing.
That wouldn't suit you.
Yeah, I've been doing it. I've been having my jeans right down around my bum.
Shame
like a batty
you.
Boy.
Shame on you.
Well, no, but it's quite liberating.
No, not for you.
Oh, honestly, I was doing it. I thought, my jeans
feel... What happened then? Tell me.
Well, they sort of fell down a bit. I don't know why. They sort of fell down a bit. And I was thinking, This actually feels more comfortable. You know, you see all these young kids walking around with their trousers around their bums.
Yes.
Well, I realised I was looking like that, and I thought, well, actually, this feels quite freeing.
I'd seen you.
Well, it wasn't sexy. You couldn't see anything. My pants were up high.
Of course, you could see your jeans around your bum.
My pants, look, they're doing it a bit now. My pants were up high. My T-shirt was covering my bum. But it felt,
liberating.
I can see why they do it.
Can you?
Yeah, definitely. Felt good.
I'm pleased about your Hoover, your Millie.
Yeah, that's right, everyone. I got a new Hoover. You're listening to local radio.
It must be lovely to go back into your house and see your place all clean.
It's clean. The cleaner came today. It's her second visit. She did an excellent job.
Very good.
It looks great. The silver mysterious slug trails have disappeared, so that's cool.
Good.
It looks great. Hey, I tell you something, though. You know I've booked these Japanese lessons, right? I'm going to learn Japanese, right?
You're learning Japanese.
I'm going to start learning Japanese on Saturday. It's the first Japanese lesson.
Good.
And I've booked the teacher. And I thought, in fact... I'm sure I was told it was going to be a gentleman.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Every Saturday morning, 10 o'clock for an hour, I have a young Miss Japanese lady coming round. Flipping egg.
You'll enjoy that.
Well, I don't want to enjoy it, Francis. I don't want to enjoy it. I want to get on and learn Japanese.
Well, you'll learn it.
Hopefully I'll learn it.
Let's hope so.
Let's keep our fingers crossed. And if there's a God, Francis, then I will be learning Japanese. Uh-huh.
And I'm pleased you slept with a naked lady as opposed to a clothed lady. Bye, Ian.
Now, where I come from, that's fighting talk. You missed it, Helen. It was Vinny phoned up to diss me, saying there's a difference between me and him in that he's real and I'm fake. So I phoned him back and said, well, there's two more differences. I got quite a well-paid job and I've seen a naked lady. So he wasn't entertained by that at all. Hey, it's the Contradiction Man.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I've got a contradiction to come up later in the week, maybe, or next week.
Okay.
But can I just say, did you get last night's contradiction? Just to recap, I said that people shouldn't get the hump when you cut them off.
Yeah.
And then I was saying that you can cut me off, it's fine.
Yeah.
And you played the trumpet.
Yeah.
Did you get the contradiction?
Well, I cut you off.
Well, no. You played the trumpets at the end.
Right.
Did you get the contradiction yesterday?
Well, did I? What have I missed? Have I missed a contradiction?
Well, because you didn't follow the instructions.
I didn't have any instructions.
In the email.
I didn't get an email.
Well, in that case, it's not your fault.
Well, then don't have a go at me.
I'm going to try it again at a later date.
Okay, well, you have to... I don't seem to be getting your emails through. You need... And also, I don't always have the time. I'm doing a bloody radio show. I can't read your emails.
But I'll tell you what I'll do.
Yes.
If I don't talk to you for your holiday, have a great holiday. And you're a great man, and I'll speak to you later, and I'll do it again.
But...
No.
Oh, there wasn't a contradiction. That was a genuine statement. Okay.
No. But basically, last night's one went wrong.
Okay.
I'll do it again at a later date, and I'll try and get through to you beforehand. But I listened to it. Will you pack it in?
I can't. Oh, it's time for this, isn't it? It's the travel... Alan?
Yeah?
Are you here for the whole show?
No.
Who we got, Will?
Will
Gallagher. I like him. He's nice.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Central line still suspended both ways between Liverpool...
The phones really are very, very busy. If you're trying to get through to speak to Professor Joseph Leavens, good time to call in now. Don't forget, it's Helen here this week instead of Chris. He's off on holiday in his flat. if you want to speak to Joe Leavens, 0870-9090-973. If you've got any stories about UFOs, if you've seen them, if your friends have seen them, or if you've got any theories about the government cover-ups that I think are inherent in these things. 0870-9090-973, and he's here to talk to you. He's got some clips of UFOs as well, and also talk about his new book, UFO Logistics, Denied to Deceive 2, Legacy of Arrogance. So 0870-9090-973. Before that, though, it's David in the Brixton.
Late one night, upon the stair, I saw a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. I wonder when he'll go away.
Thank
Thank you. Thank you.
And it wasn't spooky, that was just rubbish. Justin's in the Croydon.
Hi, Ian. Hello there.
Hello, Justin.
Good evening, sir. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually good today. It's Thursdays are always good, because it is Thursday, isn't it, before I get too excited?
Yeah, it is Thursday. I'm going to bleach all the way through Friday.
Oh, man, you're going to bleach through Friday?
That's a new word for you. I could bleach through Friday.
Oh, man, I'm going to bleach through Friday. It's nearly the freaking weekend, boys and girls.
Ian, I was concerned for you, because I'm not sure whether I misheard you.
Yes.
I was driving home to the place of a good woman, I might add, and I thought I heard you say you were wearing batty riders.
Yeah, I'm a batty boy. I'm where I've got my trousers around my bum. Isn't that what they call it?
Ian, I'm no professor, but
right.
I think batty riders are the kind of short jean shorts frequented by the likes of Daisy Duke.
Ooh,
I was concerned
funny.
This isn't quite the weather for it. I could be wrong, and I'm willing to...
Well, what do they call it when they wear their trousers around their bums, though? So their bums are sticking out.
I don't know what these newfangled kids with their iPods and fancy trainers are calling these kind of things these days.
Well, that's what I'm doing. Have you ever worn a pair of really tight hot pants?
No, but apparently I've been told I've got the legs for them.
There are a lot of... I haven't got the legs for them, but there are a lot... Only in the privacy of my own home. But honestly, but they're a lot of fun. It's all very compact and, nice.
Boy, you know, you've warmed the cockles of my heart with that mental.
Well,
kick.
There we go. I'm glad to have helped you, Justin.
No, thank you for your time, Mr. Ian Lee. Have a good evening.
Cheers, fella. There we go. 0870-9090-973. You can also, I would like a gentleman to call in and confess to having worn dungarees or still wearing dungarees in this day and age. Because they're just not right, are they? It doesn't seem right to be wearing dungarees. It's the most ridiculous thing. Jeans, but they sort of carry on a bit with a top, and they've got, like, braces, and... It just looks ridiculous. Hey, I'll tell you something else as well. I was getting a cab home last night, because I was doing some work yesterday in Margate. And so I got a train back from there, and then I got a cab over to here, so I got a cab home. I have never, ever felt so... I had the worst travel sickness I've ever had. Like, 3 minutes into the journey, I thought, I'm not going to make... He was driving like a maniac. He wasn't just driving fast. He was driving fast. Then he'd get to a speed bump, and he'd stop, like, really quickly. And he was left and right and trying to do a shortcut that didn't really take any time off whatsoever. I felt so ill that I got... And I was quite hungry last night. But I got home, and I sat on the stairs in my flat for 20 minutes, just trying to get my head to stop spinning and my stomach to stop feeling like I was going to be sick. And then I went to bed. What a waste of an... I didn't have to be up this morning. Absolutely true. I didn't have to be up this morning. I was looking forward to getting a pizza last night, playing a bit of Rainbow Six on the Xbox, and instead I was on the stairs going, oh. It's like the first time I got really, really drunk. And I came out, sitting on the stairs going, I'll make it end. Please make it end. And that's what I felt like last night. So any tips for travel sickness? And also don't say, oh, get one of those copper brass wristbands. They don't work. It's a load of old nonsense. 0870-9090-973. By the way, do try and call in and book your call to speak to Joe Lavens if you've got any interest in UFOs whatsoever. We've only got about half an hour, 45 minutes, so, you know, try and get calling as early as you can. Lyndon's in the Stratford.
Good evening.
Good evening, Lyndon.
It's the first time I've called you since you moved to your new slot.
Well done.
I have to call you in about, you know, 4 o'clock, 4:30, that sort of time.
I remember the golden days.
Golden Hessian times.
Golden Hessian times.
How mad they were, eh?
Yep.
Now, I've got to put you straight, my friend.
Yes.
Batty riders?
Yes.
Please. Now, batty riders,
yes.
Okay, where I come from,
yes.
London, are Daisy Duke type batty hugging shorts.
Oh, okay.
Now, they ain't for no man, and ain't no for no Peter Crouch lookalike for sure.
But you must have worn short, tight things in the bedroom to spice things up a little bit, Lyndon. Come on, you've tried on your missus' underwear, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, done all that, of course.
Good lad, good lad.
But, what are you doing? You're wearing what are called low backs.
Low backs or low batty?
No, low backs. They're called low backs.
Low backs.
Forget the batty word completely.
Okay, that's gone.
They're not for men like me and you.
No.
No.
So, I'm wearing low backs.
Low backs.
Have you ever worn a low back before?
Now I'm a grown-up man.
Well, I'm a grown-up man, but I'm doing it, and it feels really... I always laughed at these kids. What do you snuck a kook? What's that? cock yours, you snook.
Cocker snook, isn't it?
Cocker snook, there we go. I would always cocker snook at those young gentlemen. But today I was thinking, yeah, man, this feels very freeing.
Ian, stop, carry on cocking your snook, man.
Okay.
Don't go down there. I mean, my kids wear those low backs, and they look ridiculous.
Okay, well, yes.
But you can wear those, because when you're young, you're meant to wear outrageous clothes and look silly so you can look back, and
laugh.
That's right.
Lyndon, I've got to go, but thank you very much for that.
At Allied Carpets.
Okie doke. G-Man.
Angus, turn it down.
Hello?
I was just thinking today, isn't it nice that G-Man hasn't called in for ages?
No, I called in kind of recently. Like last week.
What do you want?
And you said that you haven't called in for ages, and then I made you laugh.
Okay, well, what do you want?
What do you mean, what do I want?
Well,
you've been polite, yeah?
Why have you called in?
Come on, I need some respect.
Okay, well, you'll have to speak in a minute. I'm going to speak to Phil first, and then maybe if there's time before the news, we'll fit you in. Yes, Phil?
You all right, mate?
Hello.
Well, I just wanted to say that Lyndon, who called up, he was wrong. It is called Low Batty.
It is Low Batty?
It is Low Batty.
Okay. Do you wear the Low Batty?
I don't wear Low Batty myself, no.
Okay. Ladies have started wearing low batty, and I don't like it, because I like to, let's not get too graphic, because there are young people listening, but I like the mystery of a lady's bottom. I like to see the jeans up and tight, not down and low.
Definitely.
That's not sexy.
No, definitely not.
Okay, Phil, well, thank you for clearing that up.
No problem.
There we go, good lad. Right, G-Man, now we'll try again.
Oh, hello.
Hang on a second, line 8, you're on the wireless.
There'll be a large moon appearing. At 8 o'clock.
Okay, good lad.
That was interesting.
Wasn't it just? Yes, G-Man.
How are you?
I'm fine. Get to the point. Hang on a second. Let's go to John first. Yes, John.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, sir.
How you doing?
I'm all right. Do you wear dungarees?
Every night.
What?
I listen to you every night.
Well done.
You do me head in.
Yeah.
You're going on about dungarees.
Yeah, do you wear them?
Certainly. What's wrong with them?
Well, you look like a pervert, then.
No.
Yes,
no,
if you wear dungarees, you look like a pervert.
You're talking about farmers, if you're talking about perverts.
Well, no, I'm not. You can't say that all farmers are perverts. That's racist.
Well, I am. That's not racist.
Well, you're what, a pervert or a farmer or a racist?
I'm not a farmer, I'm not a pervert, I'm not nothing. But what's wrong with
dungarees? Didn't say he wasn't a racist!
What's wrong with dungarees?
And he still didn't say it!
No. What's wrong with dungarees?
They look ridiculous, mate.
You've never wore dungarees?
Yeah, when I was 8 years old, and even then I felt uncomfortable. Wow.
So what did you do when you wore dungarees? Did you say to your mum, I don't want to wear dungarees?
No, I didn't. I did what I did with all of the shame and guilt I felt at the time, is I put it in a tiny box deep inside me, locked it up and tried to repress it.
But you haven't, because you brought it up.
Exactly. I was 8. I didn't understand psychology.
How old are you?
I'm 34.
Right. So you was 8 years old when you wore dungarees?
Yes.
So why are you talking about it 26 years later?
Because I saw a bloke wearing... You haven't
come
got
on,
me.
Come
don't
keep
laugh.
Up, keep up with me.
I'm 10 steps ahead of you. I'm doing it because I saw a bloke wearing dungarees today.
Yeah? Well, after 28 years.
Yes, after 28 years. Sorry, G-Man, we haven't got time for you.
No, I'll speak up.
There we go. Joe Laven's coming up after this.
Awesome.
Oh, yes. Awesome.
I've got one too.
What's the matter, Zoe? Why are you crying?
Because I just want Tony Blair to come back and I want to be Prime Minister.
Why?
Because I just do.
Why do you want him to be Prime Minister still?
Because I love him.
But there's going to be a new Prime Minister. There's going to be a new Prime Minister, darling, called Gordon Brown.
No!
You don't want him?
No, I want Tony Blair.
Yeah, that was my mum. That was my mum. Just on the day that he left, I recorded her and, very sad. Okay, 0870 ian@lbc.co.uk. It's the ways to get in touch. For the next 45 minutes, maybe we can persuade him to stay a little bit longer, I've got a special guest, Professor Joseph Lavens, who's written a new book coming out soon, Ufologistics, Deny to Deceive 2, Legacy of Arrogance. Do I call you Joseph or do I call you Joe?
Please call me Joe.
Joe, okay, well listen, it's very nice to meet you.
And you too.
Thanks very much for coming in. Now, First of all, let's get where are you coming from in this book? You are a believer of UFOs.
Right. The main tenet of the argument is that we are laboring under a misconception that ecological concerns are the biggest enemy. Mm. This is a smokescreen. I'm not saying... what I'm saying is that we have visitors. I'm not saying that's a threat. Who knows?
This is the global warming and the
That is correct. Yeah. I'm saying that is a smokescreen for something much more pernicious.
Okay.
I'm saying that the governments don't want us to know about it. And so my book is really it's a question of civil liberties.
Sorry to interrupt you. You're saying that because we were talking about global warming and these things the other. I think it's just a natural phenomenon that occurs anyway. But you're saying that the government is pushing this to the forefront of the news to keep something else from us?
What I'm saying is that it is a combination of those two things. Yes,
okay.
Yes, I am saying that. So I'm saying the book deals with the fact that it is a question of civil liberties. And it's whether we should be told by governments what's out there, you know, whatever the cost to us, and who's visiting us.
So the governments, all governments know about aliens?
Oh, yes, sir.
They've had contact with aliens. Are you saying that Gordon Brown, on the first day of going in as Prime Minister, someone said, okay, well, here's the Northern Ireland, and here's Iraq, and here's the file on UFOs?
No, of course, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that there are people in the military, the Ministry of Defense. I'm saying that there are people, Tony Blair himself must well know this, that there have been visitations, there have been sightings, sighters, I call them, people who have seen UFOs. And I'm saying that Gordon Brown, if he doesn't know about it now, he certainly will.
Famously, President Carter saw a UFO, I think in 77.
Yes, 78.
78.
Yes.
And he was kind of... Was he the first president of the United States to come out and say UFOs exist?
Yes, and of course he was ridiculed for it.
Yeah.
Of course, that's exactly what happened, that he was lampooned and quite deliberately as a smokescreen.
But if George Bush comes out and says, all right... UFOs exist, aliens exist, we've had contact with them, here's the evidence. Mm. What would be the... Would people be able to handle that information?
Well, I don't know whether they could. That's not really the issue in my book. It's about whether we should be told at all.
Okay.
What happens after that is not really my concern.
Do you think we should be told?
Oh, yes.
How has the contact been made with the governments?
By
the aliens.
I'm not saying they're aliens. I didn't say aliens. Those are your words, not mine. The greatest respect, I don't know what that is, and the book does not attempt to tackle that. That question. I'm here merely to promote a book that says that we should be told. I think that the result could well be a panic, and I think that somehow there have been. I know for a fact that there have been there has been contact with other life forms.
A lot of people, I've heard the theory before that the sci-fi films and space films are quite popular, and that it's a way of softening us up, just getting us ready,
yes, sir,
for the day,
yes,
that they come out and say,
yes,
"Well, this,
sir,
has happened," and so we're not so surprised by it. Is that a possibility? That could be a possibility.
I think that's very much.
Now, you're happy to take some calls,
yes,
from
sir,
our listeners. Okay, 0870-9090-973. If you've anything to say on this, if you've seen a UFO, maybe a member of your family saw a UFO and you all laughed at them and you thought they were weird, or any theories on the government. I guess it's a phrase that's bandied around a lot, but I guess it's a conspiracy theory.
Well, yes, I think it is. It's not one of the more popular ones nowadays.
Mm.
I mean, certainly 20 years ago, this was certainly something that was bandied around as a conspiracy theory.
Okay, well,
I've not seen one myself.
I've
not seen anything myself.
Okay.
That's kind of unfortunate.
That must be frustrating.
It is frustrating. I'm someone who lectures on it. I'm someone who's written books on it. To not have seen one is frustrating, to say the least.
I saw maybe we'll talk about this a little bit later on, but I did see a UFO when I was 15.
You've seen one.
I got to be honest, I don't believe in all this spirituality and seances and clairvoyance and stuff,
right,
but I do believe that UFOs exist. But it's a mathematical certainty that
That's
there
right.
must be other life forms out there in the universe.
There are 9 planets and 169 known moons in our solar system.
Yeah.
I think it is a mathematical certainty, certainly.
Well, maybe we'll talk about my experience a bit later on. Let's get some calls first. Well, the phones are really busy tonight. Jason.
Hello.
Hello, you're through to Professor Joseph Lavens.
I'm just going to pull over a minute. I'm trying to drive, so...
Okay.
2 seconds now.
Yep.
Right, what it was, I was coming... I'm a lorry driver.
Right.
And about 5 years ago, I was travelling back from Hereford. And
what's that noise, Jason?
I'm just it's my lights. Yeah, I pulled into a lay-by.
Yeah.
Behind another lorry.
Yeah.
And I was watching the sky. It was a brilliant night, no clouds at all.
Right.
And I saw this light moving.
Yeah.
And it would, whenever a plane would go across, you saw it flashing. You know, it would stop for a little while right. until it got to a certain point, and it would just suddenly zoom across the sky to another point in a straight line.
Yeah.
And it'd either go across. Or up, and it was like it was surveying the ground.
Surveying the ground. Does this sound familiar?
Well, it does sound familiar. This could well have been a blimp. It could have been some kind of air balloon. It could be an Anticularis cloud.
Well, I was watching it for about three quarters of an hour.
45 minutes.
That's the time I had a break.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, these three, I would say they were helicopters.
They
had to be helicopters. They had a flashing light on them, right?
All due respect. Doesn't have to be a helicopter if it's got flashing lights on.
No, but, yeah, but they stopped.
Oh, well, in that case,
this flashing, but no, it wasn't a flashing light, was it? It was like a very bright star.
Oh, that's mad. I don't know what you're...
And these lights, flashing lights, which I...
Well, is the light flashing or not, Jason?
I'm waiting for the punchline.
No, there's three red lights, which
This sounds like a wind-up, Jason.
No, really, it isn't.
Jason, I'm gonna move on to a sensible call. I'm sorry about that, Joe.
It's okay. I'm well used to it.
I've got to admit, the show we normally do is kind of quite light-hearted. It's normally better than that as well. We may get,
Well, it's okay. I mean, as I say, this is exactly where we are now.
Yeah.
If people are going to constantly be lied to, this is exactly the situation we're going to find ourselves in.
Michael's embarking. Hello, Michael. You're through to the professor.
Hello. How are you? I agree with the
professor. I'm fine, thanks.
Say again?
I'm fine, thank you.
I agree with the professor. UFOs do exist. I've seen three of them.
No, have you?
In 1995, it was August, and it was 1:45 a.m. in the morning, and I was up in the morning, and my lady friend at the time was playing on the Sega games, and I was getting a bit bored with that, and I just happened to look out the window, and I saw three objects in the sky.
Yeah.
That was in the western sky.
The western sky?
I say the western sky because that's where the sun sets, isn't it? The sun comes up in the east and sets in the west.
Japan is the land of the rising sun. Yes, yes.
No, I'm serious. I'm being absolutely serious.
Okay.
They were setting up and it looked like there was one big one and two small ones.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that may be because two were further back.
Can I ask, Michael, had you been drinking or taking drugs?
No. Excuse me. I do have a drink now and again, but I don't take drugs.
Okay, mate. I'm just asking. You understand I've got to ask these questions?
Oh, well, of course, yes.
Okay. So you've been drinking that night?
What happened to...
No, I haven't.
That's right.
Have you been drinking tonight?
No.
I'm just getting a little bit of an attitude.
Why?
There
was one big one and two small ones, and I said to my lady friend, look at that, and she looked on the sky, she said, oh, they're helicopters, as the other guy said.
Who is this lady that was there, this friend
that
of yours?
That was Barbara.
Barbara, okay.
I'm going back a long time now.
Yeah, okay. Does any of this sound...
Was it throbbing at all?
No, there was no engine noise, there was no nothing.
No throbbing.
All there was, I had a pair of binoculars at the time.
Right.
And I looked up at them, and there were, I saw lights. There were lights flashing. I don't know why, but there were lights. I don't know if they were just spinning or just flashing.
Do you want to get to the point, Michael?
Yes. Well, one of these objects...
Right.
They flew from the western sky to the northern sky.
Right. How did you know it was northern? I don't mean funny, Michael. There are a lot of holes in this story.
Because, there's a big thing in Barking. It points to our twin town in Germany, and it says.
I'm really sorry. Okay, listen. Can we just get sensible calls?
I don't know. I don't think I've set my stall out.
Oh, okay. Listen. What we'll do is we'll come back. We've got to go to the travel now.
Right.
It's Earthbound travel, I'm afraid.
Right. Okay.
It's just London. And when we come back, you brought in some clips for us, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Of actual UFO sightings being recorded, and something very exciting as well.
That's right.
Okay, 0870-9090-973. Sensible callers, please. We'll do more after this. It's the Travel with Will.
Thank you very much. On the Underground, first of all,
I've got Professor Joseph Lavens here with me, who's written a book about UFOs. Lara.
Hello.
Very quickly, we're going to play a clip That Joe has brought in with him. Would you like to listen to it with us?
I would.
Just let us know what you think. Now, Joe, this is the first clip you gave me.
Yes, sir.
This is people videoing an actual UFO sighting.
That's right. This happened.
Oh,
what's
my
happening?
God.
This is Lake Missouri,
right?
1991.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an extraordinary piece of audio recording. And, in my opinion, conclusive proof that there are extraterrestrials.
Okay, well, it's quite long, so I'm going to play some of it. But this is your proof that aliens do exist.
Listen up.
The object in question is the one that is above left to the bright, what I am assuming might be Venus. Whoa! Whoa!
Right there.
Whoa!
Right there.
Whoa!
Right
What's
there.
Going on there?
He's seeing something, isn't he?
Yes, sir. Yes, he is. This is really... This
Whoa!
Is this. And now? Coming up right
Whoa.
Now.
Whoa!
Again.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Again.
Okay.
What now, has just happened here?
Yes, what has happened there in this... And this
Holy
here,
mackerel.
Holy mackerel, just yeah. right there.
Now, you
Couldn't
wouldn't...
see it,
you
except
wouldn't,
in night vision.
It's not night vision. You wouldn't say that if you hadn't
Holy
seen,
mackerel.
He's saying it again. You wouldn't say that if you hadn't seen something, would you?
The thing,
He's telling us what it is now.
Almost like it exploded.
Yeah.
It's lights in the sky that exploded.
Does he say holy mackerel again?
I don't think he does.
You can see,
Take the radio in. It's on the seat.
I said it, Laura.
Kind of debris or something that is...
Debris? Okay, and that's... And that's
there
that
was debris. There was... And debris. I think, you know, that's pretty conclusive.
What did you make of that, Laura?
Well, not much.
Excuse your... Pardon?
I'm a great believer in UFOs, but I didn't make much of that.
Well, it seems quite clear that...
What else do you
The guy has obviously just seen... He's
well, when he said holy mackerel, yes, I believed him, because there's a certain type of American that only says that if it's really...
Really extraordinary.
Yeah,
and then I believed it.
Yeah,
but
up until the holy mackerel, you weren't believing it, but then at that point, that was the proof for you.
Yeah, when
Laura,
he said holy mackerel...
It was real, yeah.
That was very much it for me, too.
It was very powerful.
It was very powerful.
I had the hairs in the back of my neck.
That's right. Yes. And when I first heard it, the whoa was not it. Well, that was not it for me.
Yeah.
But holy mackerel, really, that was the thing.
No, amazing. Laura?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, listen, you know, Professor Latham is quite well known.
Lavens.
Latham, sorry, I've only seen it in books.
Right.
I've never heard anyone say his name.
Lavens.
But he's a wonderful poet. Mogadu and Mogadon't. The student and the lecturer with apologist Lewis Carroll.
Yes.
Does this mean anything to you?
Two of my favourites.
Does this mean anything to you, Joe? Or?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't recall.
Look, I'm going to have to cut you off. I'm afraid you're obviously a fruitcake. There we go. So I'm really sorry about that.
Perhaps do you have something else you could play?
Would you like the French one?
The French one. This is extraordinary.
Okay, so talk us through what's happening here.
This is Mr. Pasquale Frez. This is 2001. Have you got it there?
I've got it here, shall I play it?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. This is, okay.
Yep. That's
a dog that was startled. That's not it. That's just traffic there.
Yeah.
It's coming. Can you hear that?
And you just get
you hear
something at the end there as well. So that's well, that is fantastic. I mean, that is fantastic. You've got to listen to it a few times. Hopefully, people can get the podcast and listen to that. But you can certainly hear something. And you're saying that's conclusive proof of the existence of UFOs.
Yes, sir. Yes, I am.
Okay.
I would dearly love to see the footage, and I believe there is footage of that. And I would like to see that. But
you've interviewed people who've met. Aliens.
I have. They purport to have met them. I often think there's no justice. I would like to have. Well, I'd still like to meet, you know, an extraterrestrial.
Is there any way that you can make yourself open to an extraterrestrial to take you?
Oh, boy.
Just be careful of the.
Boy, have I. You know, I've met many a night. I've been looking through my telescope, and I've willed these creatures to come find me.
Mm.
But not yet.
Not yet. Well, there were some reports recently of, I think, Jersey or Guernsey or...
That's right. I've got Orly Airlines, and there was this big cigar-shaped, as you said earlier, cigar-shaped, interesting correlation. cigar-shaped, object in the sky.
Mm.
I thought it was an Antiquaris cloud, but apparently not.
Okay. Should we take some more calls?
Yes, please.
Mike, you're through to the professor.
Oh, hi, Professor. Two questions for you.
Yes, sir.
You said before that it wasn't an alien when Ian said to you that it was an alien. You said, no, your words, not mine, not an alien. Okay. What's the difference between an alien and an extraterrestrial?
There is...
Question number one. And right. Question number two...
Okay, go on then.
Question number two is, how come there's never been a sighting at midday over London, and they're always in the
excuse
countryside
me, sir.
At 1 a.m. in the morning?
Pardon me, sir. There has been. I think you'll find that light pollution often prevents that sort of thing happening. It's easier at night because they're often lit up. Aliens like to light up their spacecraft, sometimes throbbing lights, sometimes ones that go around really quickly, and that's easier to see at night.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I just don't buy that.
Well, hang on, Mike, I'm not being funny. If you're going to be rude to my guest, I'm going to have to step in here. I'm doing it. What's your problem, Mike? Why have you got the attitude?
Problem,
why are you having a go at the professor?
Well, because I find it very difficult to believe that you only get people who've had a drink at 12:45 in the morning who live in borders, who's
that's
the aliens,
nonsense.
And when
that's
the sun goes over London at 1:00, Mike, bunkum.
Mike, are you saying that we are the only species that exists in the universe?
I didn't say that.
Your words, not mine.
I want to know why these extraterrestrials in throbbing big spaceships...
Get lost.
They're not always throbbing. It glows. It kind of glows. It's not always throbbing. I think, Mike, you should read my book, Legacy of Arrogance. That's the sort of Legacy of Arrogance I'm talking about.
Okay, well, who have we got here? It's Barry and Watford. Hello, Barry.
Ian.
Yes, you're through to the professor.
Barry from Watford.
Yeah, I just said that.
Speak to Joe?
He's a regular
hello.
Caller.
Please.
You're speaking. Hello.
You're through to Barry. Him now, yeah. Away you go.
Hello.
Yes.
Can I just say, what a fascinating man you are.
Well, thank you very much.
The thing is, my question...
Yeah, can you get to the point, Barry?
My Margaret...
Yeah.
You know, my wife, I do love her dearly.
Yes.
But sometimes if I come in late from the pub, she often says to me, Barry, in future, phone the home.
Right.
Phone the home.
Oh, that's not...
the E.T.
Right, I got... No, I've got a sense of humor.
Barry, it's not funny.
With Margaret's neck... And her eyes, which, admittedly, it's a thyroid problem, makes them stick out.
Barry, I'm not being funny, mate.
Could be an extraterrestrial.
No, that's...
Okay.
I'm well used to this.
Thanks for that, Barry. Right. Put the phone down.
Right, no.
Yeah, good night, Barry. Bye-bye. No, I'm sorry about that. Are we going to get any sensible calls?
I'm well used to this sort of thing.
Let's try one more before the break if we can. Let's go to Paul in the archway. Hey, Paul.
Hello, Ian. I've got a question for Joe. Serious one as well.
Oh, thank God for that.
Okay. I'm interested to know what the best sci-fi movie, in his opinion, is to depict UFOs and aliens in the most realistic way.
Goodness me. I think, in my opinion, it's E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Oh, really?
Pardon?
Independence Day's good.
I it's a little bit too commercial. From what I've read, I don't want to get too technical.
Yeah.
These aliens do have a sort of wide face, and they're quite often...
You got a picture of an
alien?
Yes,
I have.
Can I have a look at that?
I think you'll
see, I'd say Fire in the Sky was the best one.
Fire in the Sky, I did see that. That's about 1993, that one, wasn't it?
Yeah, the abduction one.
That was
excellent. Pretty good.
Yeah,
so
that was.
What's this I'm looking at now?
Chupacabra. That's a chupacabra, and that's from Mexican folklore, and people say that often the aliens do look like that, and I believe they do.
He's got little eyes.
He's got little eyes, and he's got claws.
And these things.
That's what they look like.
Okay, wow.
That's what they look like, Ian.
Okay.
And I would dearly like to see one, but so far I have not been
fortunate. Paul, ever seen anything?
I haven't seen anything. Now, I'm like yourself, Ian. I do believe that there is stuff out there.
There's got to be, hasn't there? There's got to be.
I don't know if they've made contact yet, or even if they do, if it's wise, you know, because they might be evil, but...
Some of them are evil.
Something's out there.
Well, you say they're evil, Joseph, because you've never met them, have you?
No, but...
I don't want to keep bringing that, homing that point.
Sometimes, when you see them in films, they're really bad.
Well, sometimes they've got laser guns.
That's, they got laser guns.
Could they have laser guns, the ones that are here? The kind of laser guns where they shoot you, and you just evaporate.
Yes, damn it, they do. They, like ray gun.
The ray gun. Yeah, a ray gun.
They could shoot you, and you don't even know, and you just disappear.
Would you feel any pain?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
I'd just like to say what I respect about Joe is he isn't saying he's seen them.
No,
he
I'm not.
He's saying he hasn't seen them.
I respect. He's not like saying, I've seen aliens and they're out there. What he's saying is he wants the government
that's
to
exactly,
admit.
That is exactly it.
And I respect that.
And I respect you. And if these guys come
thank
down
very much.
And they want to shoot us with a ray gun, then I think that we should know about it.
So you actually felt pain if a ray gun shoot. I always thought, because it was so quick, that you would just...
No, it's very painful.
Wow. But painful only for us...
And then you disappear.
How do you know that?
I don't know that. That's from my extensive research, from what I've heard.
Thanks for that, Paul.
Thank you very much.
There we go. Are you in pain after you disappear? Or is it just for that millisecond? Because if it's a millisecond of pain, I could probably take that. But if you're in pain afterwards, then I wouldn't want to.
I don't know, obviously, but from what I've heard, it's like a intense glowing feeling, and then you can disappear, and sometimes you turn into sort of ash and soot.
Okay, well, listen,
that's what I've heard.
Okay. Because you've never seen one, have you?
No, I haven't seen one, but I would very much like to see one.
My guest this evening is Professor Joseph Lavens, who's lecturing at De Montfort in astrology. Specialist subject, ufology. Sounds like getting ready for Masterminds, a quiz show we have
yes,
over here.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
The study of unidentified flying objects. 0870 9090 973. More of your calls after this. So you're telling 70909090973. Joined by Professor Joseph Lavens, who's an expert in UFOs. Now, you were saying something interesting during the break, that you think, or you have proof that governments, including the British government, are using alien technology.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me, what is it and what proof have you got?
I can't reveal my sources.
No.
But, I've spoken to a number of people. There's, there's the SUFOG, which is Cambridge University. SUFOG, which is a Cambridge University, Cambridge UFO Group.
Mm.
And I've been with a PUFOG, which is Peterborough UFO Group, which I started 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And there was one of our members there. I'm not going to say his name. He's a former military man. And
okay.
He has told me that the British government, Ministry of Defense, have been using, technical equipment that is derived from alien technology.
Now, are we allowed to say on air, we said this prior, are we allowed to say on air about the computer with the tentacles?
There is a computer with tentacles. That's one of the things I was telling you. It's got suckers on it. And it's like a keyboard. It's like a mainframe, an old-fashioned mainframe computer. And this, it has...
What do the tentacles do? They're obviously alien.
They're the alien bit.
And the keyboard, is it a keyboard like this? So the keyboard is from Earth. They've combined the two technologies. The keyboard, I'm laughing because it's so fantastic. The keyboard is from Earth, and they've put alien tentacles on it. Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly what I'm saying, yes.
I'm incredulous, but I'd like to I bet it's some great graphics.
I didn't really want to go down that path, but yes, there's a screen, there's some tentacles, and there's some slimy stuff on the bottom.
Now, you have brought in a clip of an actual UFO.
Yes.
I think this speaks for itself. Have a look. This is a recording of a UFO. We'll find out where from after this.
This is the last bit of the end. Last bit of the end. Hear that throbbing?
And then... That's fantastic. I've got to ask, where did you get that from? That is fantastic.
That was recorded from Professor Stephen Tibbetts, and that was in Spain, 2002.
Wow. No video footage of it.
No, there is not.
He only had a cassette recorder on him.
No, there is not.
Which is amazing.
But I think you will find that pretty conclusive.
Well, that proves it. Does that prove it to you, Terry?
Hello?
Terry? Uh-oh.
Hello?
Oh, he's there. Yes, Terry, is that proof?
Sounds a bit similar to something I heard when I saw something 20 years ago.
Fantastic. Let's hear your story, but make it quick.
Right. with my wife 20 years ago on the northern section of the M25 before it was, when it was just bits.
Yeah.
Driving along, 8 o'clock July evening.
Yeah.
Saw some white flashing lights to the right of us. It was an object, I guess 30 feet tall.
You sounded very emotional, Terry.
Pyramid-shaped, slowed down to a crawl, and there's only one or two other cars.
UFOs aren't pyramid-shaped.
The motorway.
Some are.
It rose probably 50 foot into the air very, very slowly.
Yeah,
and just meandered northeast.
Right.
At the time, I had a friend who worked at West Drayton, traffic control.
West Drayton.
When I asked him, I thought I'd catch him out. I said, what about that UFO last night?
And he knew all about it.
How do you know about that?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
And is it the RAF?
Said, hang on, what do you know? And then he said, I can't talk about it.
Right.
Oh.
RAF West Drayton, was it?
Yeah.
Right.
Did you see any laser guns or tentacles?
No, nothing.
Ray
like
guns.
That.
Ray guns. Sorry,
ray guns. Lights on it. Yeah, I'm being serious because if I hadn't seen it, I'd be skeptical. Like,
did anything happen? Like, did you have scorch marks on your face, or did time disappear for a few moments? Were you anally probed?
No, nothing like.
No. Would you like to be?
Not really.
No, that's...
If there is something out.
No, you'll have to be... Excuse me, he's being facetious.
No, you're
being facetious.
I'm not being facetious. I'm generally saying that the people do talk about being anally probed...
Pardon me.
...by
pardon me.
Aliens when they are abducted. I don't know if that's...
I don't know whether... I've heard of something similar around the West Drayton area.
Mm.
I think that there was something over Northolt. I think that was, 4 or 5 years ago. And that was seen as far as Greenford.
Terry, listen, thanks for that.
Okay.
There we go. You was saying as well earlier on, and apparently it's in your book, about the transporters. Apparently this technology is on Earth from an alien spaceship, a crashed spaceship.
Right.
In the north of England. So a man or something stands in a transport and gets transported somewhere else.
That's
that
right.
Can't actually exist.
Oh,
can
yes,
it?
Sir, it can.
Wow.
Yes, sir, it can. People can be beamed up. Remember, beam me up, Scotty?
Oh, from the Star Trek.
That can happen.
Wow.
There is the technology out there. It comes from aliens.
Yeah.
It came from Tharco.
Where is Tharco?
Well, no one knows where Tharco is, and I may be saying a little bit too much before. It didn't want me to mention it's the British a UFO research organization.
Yeah.
But there is from Tharco. There is it's like a kind of hover scooter, and you can hover around
and scoot
on it and scoot at the same time.
That would be a great toy for
the kids.
Yes,
it would. And are we allowed to see it? No, we're not.
Are we allowed to play the clip of the alien speaking?
I was reluctant to let you play that, but yes.
I've got it here loaded up on the computer. If you don't want me to play it, I won't play it. I understand there are political reasons and possibly legal reasons why you can't play it, but if...
Okay, I can't tell you where I got this recording, but this is a real recording of an alien speaking.
Ben, would you like to listen to this?
Yeah, I'm
breaking
breath, mate.
Okay, well, let's have a listen. This is a recording. It's quite short, so I'm going to play it twice. Okay, here we go. This is an alien speaking. I'm going to play it one more time. Just listen very carefully. Okay,
we come in peace.
You can translate that, can you?
Well, that's what it sounded like to me.
You can kind of hear that, yeah.
That's right.
That is fantastic. Ben, what do you make of that?
I wouldn't like to comment, be honest with you.
Well, why?
Well, because it doesn't really sound like an alien.
Well, what does it sound like?
It just sounds like something made up on a computer.
Well, what does an alien sound like, mate?
I got a clue, but I don't think it sounds like that. And
that sounds convincing to me.
That's how they speak.
Okay, possibly. But I've got... Because I am still, actually, a complete sceptic. Yeah, but I do have...
Maybe we don't want to hear your story if you're going to be rude. You know what I mean, mate?
I've got... That is bona fide recording of an alien. We come in peace.
I actually feel... I'm looking out of the sky. I actually feel a little bit uncomfortable now, I'll be honest. That's...
Well, I think you should be uncomfortable about the cover-up. That's what I think you should be uncomfortable
about.
Well,
what can we do to get our politicians to tell us the truth? So, I believe there's going to be a march taking place later on in the year.
There is a march. What you can do... is write to your MP at the House of Commons.
Mm.
Make sure that you address the envelope aliens ! That's aliens !
Yep.
Cover up exclamation
and
mark.
And send that to the House of Commons.
The House of Commons.
Yeah.
And the Houses of Parliament, England. And you put that down and you demand a response.
Okay. AJ, did you hear the alien speaking?
Yeah, I did. I don't know about that personally, but...
Sorry?
I don't know about that, but I've obviously got my own experience as well.
Well,
what did you make of that? Well, I don't know, really, to be honest with you.
Well, you must know if you made some of it.
Yeah, well, it sounded like, I don't know, some kind of reverse kind of dubbing going on. I don't know, personally, but, you know...
Let me assure you, that is not... That is absolutely not the case.
No, I'm sure...
I can't tell you where I got it.
...be the case. I'm sure. I'm absolutely... I trust you now. I'm sure
right.
that you know
okay.
what you're doing.
Okay, well, let's hear your story, AJ, before we fall out anymore.
Yeah, great. I like your show, anyway. Very quickly. Yeah, it was like about a month ago. Really weird thing. I don't know what you'd make of this. I was just...
Well,
like,
tell us, mate, and let's find out.
Watching a DVD, came up kind of late to my bedroom, and I was lying down, and before I lied down, went to bed, I noticed the lights basically outside the window quite far away in the distance. Well, not too far away. It was above some trees, like in my back garden.
Right.
Probably, so I'd say, about a mile away in the sky. Anyway, it looked quite bright, and it was shining quite bright, and I thought it could be a star. So I looked at the other stars in the sky, basically. I had a quick look at the sun, but the other stars were like high up in the sky. They're really, really high.
We're running out of time, AJ.
Sorry, anyway, it was just really weird. It was, like, shining brightly, and it was there for a good kind of hour. I tried to keep up with it, but I fell asleep.
Do you ever get bored? You must hear a lot of boring stories about bright lights.
No, not at all. I'm fascinated to hear it. I had the only similar thing I had, I went camping with my girlfriend, many years ago. And I saw a bright light from my... We were in separate tents. It was kind of before we got together.
Mm.
And I heard a buzzing coming from
that
her
must be
tent.
Awkward, having two... Because you could just carry one big tent.
And, you know, incidentally as well, instead at of, the time, I don't know if this was like... You know, yeah. I did, like, hear some noises coming from outside as well.
Some
like,
noises,
like,
yeah.
Some sort of CB radio kind of thing going on. So, like, people, like...
That could well be it.
It really felt like there's some people outside. I thought it could be police or something, perhaps. Like, someone was trying to... I don't know, observe it or something. I don't know. I don't, you know, but, you know, you hear these stories of Men in Black and all that kind of thing. But, you know, I don't know. But I swear to you, I just heard people, like, outside. I was tempted to go up.
Was it anything like that?
No, it wasn't like that, no. It just sounded like people...
Okay, so you heard some people listening to a car stereo, AJ. Well done, mate.
Okay.
Yeah, well done.
Ian, I think that people do have these experiences.
But all he obviously heard, and I'm a complete believer. All he heard was there was a light outside, and there was people in a car stereo.
Okay.
I just think it'll be easier just to have carried one tent.
No, I was looking up. I thought I heard something, and then I heard a buzzing coming from my girlfriend's tent. And when she came out, she was kind of goggle-eyed, almost bus-eyed. And I said, what's going on? She said nothing. She said she thought she'd heard a strange buzzing coming from the sky. And that's partly what pricked my interest straight off the bat. So I think, you know, you've been kind of disingenuous to some of the people who have heard things. You know, and if you hear any buzzing, well, you know, I'd get in touch.
Ricky, you're through to Professor Joseph Levins.
Hi, how are you doing, Ian?
Yeah,
you all right?
Yeah, fine, thank you.
You're being a good sport tonight, humouring him.
Well, I'm a believer in this.
Really? I would never have thought, to be honest with you.
Well, I've seen the UFO myself when I was 15.
Right, okay. In regards to sort of where we are today, I mean, with the amount of technology that's out there, I'm surprised that nobody's sort of getting this on digital cameras and all this sort
of stuff. Oh, yes, they are, sir. Yes, they are.
Really? I mean, there hasn't been a massive influx of 10,000... phone sightings in the last couple of years, but that wasn't the point I wanted to make.
Do you want to hear another recording?
The recordings are poor, to say the least.
Oh, no,
okay, well,
sir.
Okay, can I play the German one?
Please play the German one.
Okay, this is a recording of...
I'm such a good sport tonight.
Yeah, we'll have a listen. Okay, but this is from Germany. Well, do you want the Germany one or the World Trade Center one?
Well, whatever tickles your fancy.
I'm not asking.
Germany.
You'll go for Germany. Okay, well, okay, have a listen to this.
Okay.
This is kein Flugzeug. Es war ein großer... Ball. Mehr kann ich nicht zoomen. Keine Ahnung, es hat keine Position.
This is the camera right now, listen.
Es hat nicht geblinkt, sondern es leuchtet. Einfach nur eine Kugel.
Ja. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nein, nein, nein.
Vorne wie hinten einfach nur Licht. Yeah. Weiße Kugel.
Is there?
Yeah, that.
That was that bell.
Keine Ahnung, yeah. Schade, dass ich das spät gemerkt habe.
That's kind of where it ends.
And then it just goes on chatting about it.
Yeah, it's amazing with these all recordings at the moment. God, I can't remember the last time I recorded. When was the last time you recorded something on a tape, Ian?
What is your point?
the point I'm making is that this is, I mean, not in a bad way, but it sounds like a load of, a crock, to be honest.
You're an apologist for the government who know that there are big space aliens out there.
The point I wanted to make was...
I think you made the point, Ricky. You're probably working for the government,
are you? You're working for the government.
Scientology, that was the whole point of me ringing up.
I'm sorry. You do get government agents that
do
phone up.
They phone up here, do they?
Well, I'm just saying they might be phoning up tonight. That could be...
Well, you know, I've come in here to talk about my experience, and if government agents want to phone up and say it's a crock, then that's up to them.
Are you happy to stick around?
They'll be sorry when they're among us.
Okay, are you happy to stick around for the last 15
minutes?
Yes, sir. Oh, okay, well, we'll speak to the professor and speak to George from Hampstead after this. It's the Travel News Now with Will.
Well, the Central Line tonight.
We've had a couple of emails, Joe, saying... Let me just play this one more time. Hang on a second. This is the recording of an alien. I've had six emails saying it sounds like you.
That's ludicrous.
Can you just say we come in peace?
We come in peace.
There is a, can you do it?
We come in peace.
Can you do it? But you know you
no, I can't do that.
Just
no, I can't do
just
that.
Have a go at just
we come in peace.
Do it. We come in peace.
No, I'm not going to.
Just try.
We come in peace.
It does.
Well, if it does, that's because they copy people when they come here. That's not me.
I mean, just say, so you're
well,
saying that that's
you say it sounds like me. It's not me.
Okay. A lot of people are requesting the UFO sound effect again. So while we're speaking to George in Hampstead, I'm just going to play the UFO underneath. This is a recording of a UFO. George, you're through to the professor.
Hello, Professor Joe. You're being given a hard time.
Yes, I am. Thank you, George.
I feel for you.
Thank you, George.
And listeners to LBC know that I have a wager that UFOs are going to appear over at least three of our Gore's concerts on Saturday. So you might not have long to wait.
Because you've never seen a UFO, have you, Joe? This is your
no,
the one
I have
thing
not.
That...
No, that's really... It's kind of...
You're getting quite angry about
well,
that.
Well, it's quite galling. Yeah. You know, I've done a lot of work, and then people phone up, they've seen lights, they've seen pyramids, they've seen everything.
And they sound like freaks as well.
I've never seen one either. So that makes two of us. But I am a firm believer.
Right.
What did you make of the recording, George?
Well, I think the recordings are not very convincing and shouldn't really be used in
even this one?
No, none of them. They don't work in this context.
No, I don't. Maybe not.
There is a cover-up. I mean, in the States, Joe, how many people believe in UFOs? Is it a majority of people?
I think it is a majority of people. I think they're slightly more open-minded than they are here, which is amazing because there have been strenuous attempts by government to cover up in the States. That's an anomaly, how that...
I personally believe they're there all the time, and they can make themselves visible any time.
And Joe, you were saying that there's a famous incident that a lot of people know about in America,
right,
where one of the aliens they had captured escaped and was storming through the White House.
That's right.
That must have been terrifying, because I read on the internet that these aliens can squirt web... web slime.
They can do slimy things. They've got webbed hands, and some of them got big teeth, and they can bite you on the face.
And is it true they can melt your mind?
Melt your mind, yes. Yes, sir, they can.
With the power of horrid thought.
Yeah, horrid thought, really horrid.
Wow.
I don't think they're aliens. I think they're...
Well, what do you call that?
Well, I think they're...
What do you call it, George, be honest, what do you call a thing that can melt your mind with horrid thought and is slimy and has got webbed fingers and can fire out web slime?
And they make your neck go all veiny.
I call it a robot. I think the...
What? No, a robot is like a stiff thing, metal. These are aliens, that's right, that's a robot. These are like slimy...
I have come to kill you.
That's it, that's a robot.
That's
they're
a
more,
robot.
You know, they're
a
more...
A robot can look like anything.
It looks like metal.
Artificial intelligence.
I have come to kill you. That's
a
robot. Well, George, thanks for your call.
That's okay.
There we go. 08709090973. We've heard that an alien sounds like... robots, a big difference. But although, of course, they build robots as their slaves, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
So though there's a vast difference. I mean, no doubt they could make a robot who looks like an alien, but that's quite difficult out of metal.
And it would still sound...
It probably
is. Hello? You know, it would be... Hello. Probably. This is a
That's
robot.
Like a robot.
Yeah. But
and
they
they're
use...
not. They're more soft and slimy, like
and shaky.
You know, like a frog is. It's
yeah.
like that.
So you could
cold.
You could technically squash an alien.
You could, but they're quite big and they're really tough. So it's quite hard to fight them. You have to have a. They're strong.
The strength of how many men?
Well, they're from outer space, so they're pretty strong.
Because the gravity is different.
Different.
Of course, so it means that even lifting up a cup for them, it would be harder. So they get stronger.
That's right. They're really strong like that. It works their muscles.
Okay, let's. We're running out of time. Let's go to Rob. Hey, Rob.
Hello, mate. Yeah. Can I speak with your guest? Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I was just phoning up to say that I witnessed an alien on two occasions. A spacecraft.
Oh,
great.
Description. I've got it on videotape as well.
You're kidding.
Yeah, straight up. Yeah, it was on the 2nd of June of this year. Yeah.
Right.
About 9:15, outside my window, there was a bright orange ball just came across the sky.
Right.
And then it just sat in the sky for, like, you know, about 6-7 minutes.
Yes, I've heard of this.
Then the clouds just obscured it, and then about 2 hours later, it came back from the same direction in the sky and then just stopped in the sky again.
And you had footage of what?
Yeah, I've got it on DV camera. Like.
Wow. Oh, DV, so that's good quality. Yeah.
And did you see any monsters or...
No,
any...
I didn't see nothing like that, but it was like the film, The Fire in the Sky. It was like a
that's
glowing fire.
It's a great
fire.
Film.
Yeah.
I looked on the internet on the Monday after the...
Right.
It's the home of fact.
And, there was a cruise ship in the channel which see this orange ball.
Right.
Like, full of people, like, and then it went on to Cherbourg.
An orange ball full of people?
No, the cruise ship.
Rob, if you had to fight an alien, what do you think your best technique would be? I bet you'd be surprised when you get the answer. But what would you think you would do to beat an alien in a fight?
I've no idea.
Have a guess. I'd try and poke his eyes. What would you do, Rob?
Yeah, hit him with a pool cue or something.
Yeah, hit him with a pool cue.
Well, that's a good effort. But you would do a grip on his neck. Like,
yeah, that's where his genitals are.
Well, I was wondering, is there a reputable organisation I could send my video to?
Yes,
YouTube.
Bufora.
Oh, sorry.
No, Bufora, British UFO
Bufora,
Research
yeah.
Association.
Rob, best of luck with
that. All right,
mate.
Thank you. What about those last two?
Sufog or Pufog.
Okay, excellent stuff. The last few minutes of Joe being here, coming after this.
Need help quitting smoking?
Let's quickly go to Robert. Robert, you're through to the professor.
Hello, professor. Very well done. Sorry you're having to endure all the abuse.
Exactly, yeah, thank you.
Robert, are you on speakerphone?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
I'd prefer if you didn't.
Okay.
You're from America as well, are you, Robert?
I'm from Texas, actually. Anybody can become an American, but you have to be born in Texas.
That's
okay,
right, yes, sir.
Anyway, my point is twofold. We are such a destructive, self-destructive offshoot of our race, let's put it that way, in general, that we have knocked everything down and smashed everything up so much.
We've built some good things as well, though, Robert.
Oh, no, but if all things are equal...
London Eye?
A less vicious strain of humanoid reptilians or whatever would be far advanced from us.
Right.
And they would be arriving here.
Yes.
They wouldn't be treating you so badly, Professor.
Right.
Number one. Number two, if UFOs and aliens don't exist, why did the U.S. Congress pass a law making it a felony to have contact with them?
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is in my book.
Yeah.
That's the question I have. Oh, anybody that can answer that question, why did...
Wins $1 million.
That is correct. That is in my book, Ufologistics, Deny to Deceive Two, Legacy of Arrogance.
Yeah, well, that's...
It is a legacy of arrogance.
It's sublime and supreme arrogance to believe that we are alone in a universe
that's right.
this big.
Robert, did you know the best way to kill an alien is to strangle it because they often have genitals in their throat?
I'm not going to bite on that.
No, for goodness, definitely don't bite it. So, Robert, thanks for that.
No problem.
Great call.
Right.
Great guy. Okay. Should we listen to the holy mackerel clip? Let's have a listen to this. This is just... If you don't believe in UFOs, you will do in 1 minute, 18 seconds.
The object in question is the one that is above left. To the bright, what I am assuming might be Venus. Whoa!
Just amazing. How can you doubt it? And again,
It's four times.
Yeah. Then the holy mackerel just come out.
That's coming up. I think it's another... Whoa, is it?
Whoa!
There it was. Five.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Six. This is incredible.
Whoa! So, what has just happened here? Holy mackerel.
There you are. There it goes.
Can't see it except in night vision.
There's another
holy mackerel.
Holy mackerel, that one there. That's the one that really...
That's the one that really does it, isn't it?
The thing, almost like it exploded.
You got it exploded, damn it.
Incredible. And you've not seen any... You've never seen any of these?
No, I have not.
And you've got to go your whole life just knowing that people have seen these things and you haven't, and it's...
I would like to see something.
Okay, well, listen, Professor, it's fantastic. The book again, if you can just...
Yeah, Ufologistics, Tonight of Deceived 2, Legacy of Arrogance, Professor Joseph Leavens.
And you're saying it's not going to be on Amazon?
No, it's not.
What? How
it's more
that?
A paper. It's more a scientific paper. Okay, it's a very serious scientific paper.
Well, listen, Professor, it's a pleasure to see you. Thanks very much
for
coming.
And you too.
It's really good to meet you. Maybe come in again in a few months' time.
As
things are always changing.
Thank
okay.
You.
Back to a normal show. 0870-9090-973. I feel kind of flippant talking about dungarees and travel sickness after something as big as that. But that's what we'll be talking about in the next hour. 0870-9090-973. More of your calls after the latest LBC 97.3 news. That was... Eight seven oh nine oh nine oh nine seven three is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. So, big thanks to the Professor Joe Labens there for that. We don't really do kind of serious stuff on this show, but really something to think about there. Sorry for all of the emails. I didn't get to any of the emails in the end. A lot of the calls we didn't get to, but maybe we'll be able to get the Professor to come back at some point in the future. So many calls. Okay. Onwards and upwards. It's 9 o'clock already. Do you know, I'm so hungry, and I tell you why. I didn't eat last night. Last night I was hungry when I was leaving the show, and then I didn't have my car here, so I got a cab home. Flipping that, this guy drove like an absolute maniac. Awful, awful driver. Just speeding up, stopping, going, and doing... I know a pretty good route from here to my house. Pretty good route. But he thought he knew better. So he's doing all these little whines and left and rights and left and rights and left and rights. And, man alive. I felt awful. And someone phoned me up. 5 minutes into the journey, I got a phone call. And I just went, I can't talk. I don't feel very well. I'll speak to you later. Window wide open. Head out the window. I felt awful. So I'm hungry now. I'm really hungry. I might have to have the pizza I didn't have last night. I might have to have it tonight. I don't really know. Anyway, we were talking about dungarees, and who the hell would wear dungarees past the age of 8? John, do you wear them?
Ian.
John.
Ian.
John.
I spoke to you about an hour ago.
Right.
Why has it took you 23 years to bring up dungarees?
Because I saw a bloke wearing... I cut you off because I had to go to the news. Because I saw...
Please, listen.
No, I'll tell you why, John. John, no, I'm going to tell you... John, I'm going to tell you why.
Shock eyes. All them sort of nutty people.
Yeah.
I'm asking you, Chuck Eyes, what's happened to him?
What's
happened to him?
I don't know what's happened to Chuck Eyes. He called in about a week ago, actually.
What, was he wearing dungarees?
The reason we're talking about dungarees is not because I wore them when I was 8, it's because I saw a grown man wearing them today and I thought he looked ridiculous.
But he might have been like from Holland. You know where they do all that slap dancing and everything?
Slap dancing?
You know what I mean?
Hey, Alex, you fancy going to a slap dancing club with me one night?
Oh, can I?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He might have been like one of them who does all that,
slap
Mayday,
dancing.
Mayday, pole dancing.
Yeah, but the pole dancing isn't...
Mayday.
Mayday. Right, John, you know I cut you off before?
Yeah.
Yeah. Peter's in St Albans.
Hi.
Hello, Peter.
How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
Do you believe in that holy mackerel? Do you reckon that sounds real?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
You want to go on the internet, mate? It's a fake.
Because the internet, everything on the internet is truthful, isn't it? Let me just tell you, Peter. I do insist.
Okay.
My Wikipedia page quite often refers to me as a gay cowboy. So you know, everything should be taken with a big pinch of salt.
You want to go on Meta Cafe?
Why?
There's a video clip of 9/11. And when the planes are whacking the building, this guy's going, holy mackerel.
Right, so what's...
That's what it is.
No, that's... It's not that.
It is. It's on the internet. Somebody's put it up.
Okay, Peter.
It's a voice with a video and everything.
Yeah, well, it's not that voice.
Your professor's a phony.
Yeah, it's not that...
Fake.
Yeah, and you're an idiot.
Ian, he's a fake.
Peter, what proof have you got that he's a fake?
What proof have you got that he isn't?
I don't need proof because I know that he's real.
Oh, you don't need proof. Why do I need proof?
Because I've seen his book, Peter. Because if you want to phone up...
You want to read it.
I've got, I've got the proofy, Peter. Why don't you phone up to Montfort University in Leicester and ask them if there's a lecturer
there?
You
want to read his book. You don't want to just see it. Seeing a book when isn't very helpful.
Well, I only got it today. I've read the first two chapters.
The first two chapters?
I'll read the rest...
I don't think you'll read any more of it. You'll get bored.
Well, no, I won't, Peter.
It's a phony, Ian.
Yeah, Peter, is that... Is the gullible. Peter, is the best argument you can do, phoning up and saying, there's a clip of 9/11 on the internet...
Well,
and
there is, and this guy's there.
I know there's
he's doing the commentary, right. And he's saying, holy mackerel, whoa, whoa.
Right, okay, you think this is a guy... You think this is a guy watching two planes
question is
smashing into a building?
Is,
you think this is? Really?
Above left... to the bright, what I am assuming might be Venus.
Yeah, you couldn't have seen Venus... On 9/11, Peter.
You can see Venus in the daytime.
Yeah, Peter. But Peter, grow up, little boy. Unbelievable. No. Let's go to Vinny. Hey, Vinny.
He was actually right there. You can see Venus. It's called the Evening Star.
Okay, well, you can, but I wouldn't have thought, if someone was watching 9/11, they wouldn't be pointing out Venus, would they? They'd be pointing out the two sodding great planes flying into the Twin Towers.
Yeah. And why couldn't I speak to that Ron?
We had a lot of calls. Joseph, do you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Why couldn't you just tell me that?
Well, I've just told you that... I've just told you that now, Vinny.
At that time.
What time?
When I phoned up the first time.
Because I didn't know that you wouldn't get... It's not me who decides who gets through. It's Helen who puts the calls through. And she puts them through in order of... quality and what they're going to contribute to the show. And she obviously thought that your call had little quality and would contribute nothing.
All right. Yeah.
Hey, you know that Yasser's hassling me.
What is he saying now?
Well, yeah, if Yasser... All Yasser has to do, and this is a genuine offer, to come in, to negotiate a 15-minute slot every week, all he has to do is phone me up on the air. But instead, he keeps sending me stroppy emails saying, Ian... call me up off-air. Let's talk about this off-air. You all crack first. Well, I won't crack first because I have nothing to lose or gain. It's only him that has something to gain. If he calls me up and agrees to a few simple things, he can have his own weekly slot on this show.
All right. Can I have one?
No.
Why not?
Because you're an idiot.
And,
bye, Vinny.
Sorry.
Yeah. 0870-9090-973 is the telephone number. Can we, I don't, if you're going to phone up and, you know, have a go about what we just spent the last hour doing, you're a little bit of a coward to do it once the professor's gone. I'll have the argument with you if you want, but you're a little bit of a coward if that's what you're going to do. And also, have a better argument than just saying, oh, you're so gullible. Have a little better argument than that, please. Although I'd rather talk about travel sickness and dungarees, really. Oh, I tell you what, I saw that there are three episodes of Doctor Who, the last three episodes of Doctor Who, I saw the first two of those today. Flipping heck! They were fantastic! I might go back tonight, order pizza and watch the last one. John Sim as the Master, come on! He was brilliant! Yeah, if you want to buy that, you're more than welcome to. 0870 9090973. They're all eating food through there, I'm starving. I might have to have the pizza tonight that I didn't have last night. I might have to order that. I'm driving tonight, so I shall at least get home without wanting to puke up. Andrew!
Yep, hello.
Hello, Andrew.
This is Andrew from South London.
It's very vague and non-specific. I like.
Yeah, from Peckham.
Excellent. That's a little bit more specific.
All the way from SE15.
There we go. That's a postcode. Good lad. Now, what can we do for you?
Yeah, I'm talking about what you said for the last hour, the UFO.
Yes.
Yeah, do you believe in them?
Yes, I do.
Well, how come you believe in them because the recordings are so fake? I think he made them up.
Sorry, Andrew, I couldn't hear what you were saying. Speak slowly and clearly. Good lad.
Yeah, I think he made them up. The recordings he did. He made all of them up.
Okay. And what proof have you got of that, Andrew?
Because it sounds like him. It sounds exactly like the man.
Right, hang on. So you're saying that this sounds like the professor?
Yeah.
The object in question is the one that
you
is...
You think that this sounds like the professor? Do you think that this sounds like the professor?
Yeah, speak my...
You think this sounds like the professor?
Yeah, it sounds like...
It's just a drone. How could a drone sound like a professor? Do you think this sounds like the professor?
You're getting all this?
It sounds like...
All the maps the same thing.
What is that?
So your argument is they sound like the professor?
Yeah, all of them sound like the professor. I think he made them up.
Okay, Andrew, well done. You saw through us. It was all a big scam. For an hour, I just had a mate in here doing an accent, and we recorded some clips and we played them out. That's what we did for the last hour. Well done, Andrew. You saw through us.
John, I'm not saying that's what you've done, but...
No, that's what we did. I knew the fellow who was sat in there. He's a good mate of mine. He came in, I bunged him a few quid. He pretended to be a professor for an hour, and then he played some clips that he made up. Well, that's what we did, Andrew. Even though that's pointless and holds no weight or entertainment value, that's what we did for an hour. Well done, Andrew. You've seen right through me.
No, I haven't seen right through
me. No, you've seen right through me, Andrew. I'm telling you, that's what we did. I knew the fellow who was sat there. He's a friend of mine. I used to work with him. I knew he could do an American accent. I texted him one day and said, oh, would you come in and be a UFO expert for me? He said, oh, yeah, I'd love to. By the way, here's some clips I've made up myself. And we sat there for an hour. That's what we did, Andrew. Well done.
Okay, I'm only joking.
Well done, Andrew. You saw right through us, mate. Well done. Busted. I've been busted by Andrew in South London, Peckham, SE5. Yeah.
SE15,
sorry.
All right, then, yeah. That's Peckham.
But it's Peckham. I'm busted by a man who keeps saying Peckham.
Yeah, Peckham. It's all about the SE15.
Okay, well, what an idiot. What would be the point of doing that? Sifu, don't tell me you wear the dungas.
I do when I'm decorating.
Oh, we're going to name and shame the Sifu. Oh, man, that's disappointing me. 0870-9090-973. Stay there, Sifu. We're going to embarrass you and humiliate you after this. It's the Travel Now with Will.
On the Underground, then, tonight, this. Oh, go on, just one club classic.
Sifu, so you're a pervert, are you?
Only on the weekend.
Hey! You wear the dungas?
Yeah, when you know when you're decorating? Or, yeah. Like, you know, you got some, maybe even if I'm washing the car.
So you're washing, decorating I can sort of understand, because it doesn't matter if they get dirty and you can, well, I don't know why decorators wear them, but washing the car, that involves going outside in them.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Well, you know, just, I thought to myself, why not? But one time, I went to a home base.
Yeah.
I was decorating, I needed to pop back out and get some more paint.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, what arm will it do? You know, well, where it's done green. And then people were asking me if I worked there when I was in the store.
Because you were wearing dungarees?
And then I thought it was a bad move. Probably only for indoors you should probably wear dungarees.
I think indoors, definitely. Because if you're decorating, it's fine. Around the house, we all wear stuff around the house that maybe we wouldn't like to be seen in outside. What? But you wash your car, do you?
I do, yeah, sometimes.
Do people actually wash their cars?
Of course
I do.
What do you do yours?
I take it to the car wash. Well, actually, I haven't washed my car since I bought it, which was about, I don't know, what, February, I think, March?
I'm very undercover.
Yeah, exactly. But I'll take it to the car wash. What I need to do is I don't know if you heard the other day, I was at my mum's, and the old lady next door, I had to go and chop down a load of her bush. Well, it was my mum's bush, but it was growing over into...
Next door, like?
Yeah. It was pine tree. It was like a Christmas tree kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I had to chop down loads of it, and I had to put it in the car. I put the boot down in the car, you know, when you put the back seats down so that it's all...
Yeah.
And so it's all covered in pine needles.
I can't be very comfortable for your passengers.
Well, the seats are all right. It's just the boot now, because now I've put it all back up, the boot... And it's an absolute mess, and I don't really know how to get rid of it.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe a vacuum, perhaps?
Yeah, well, that's... The thing is, if you go to one of those... look at Helen nodding sagely, yes. If you go...
to the garage where you put, like, 50p in or something.
Those vacuum ones in the garage are rubbish. I've used them before, and they don't do anything.
Never again.
Well, I've done it 3 times, and there's no suction. I'd do better going around with a straw and just sucking myself. Oh, what have I said?
Oh, my God.
I didn't mean that. Moving swiftly on. Thing is, near my Tesco's, they do, like, they've got the young, not Ukrainians, like Ukrainian lads.
Yeah.
Who'll do a valet on your car, but it's like about 35, 40 quid. There's a lot of money just to get rid of some pine needles.
Certainly, yeah.
Oh.
Do you want to talk about the alien?
Not really, we finished that now.
All right, I was just going to point you in the direction of some proof.
Oh, yeah, go on, let's have some evidence.
Have you ever heard of a man called George Salisbury?
Oh, did he do a show on Talk Sport?
No, I don't think so, no.
Oh, that...
Maybe a different one, this guy.
The mother of all talk shows.
In 1976, this guy was abducted by a UFO, and he spent 11 years on their planet,
Hang on.
Sorry, Helen, can I just take control of the emails for a second? I know you're typing me important messages, but I just need to check. Carry on reading, Sifu.
He was abducted in 76. He spent 11 years on their planet.
Yeah.
He taught the aliens about being a human, and they taught him a revolutionary fighting art.
Oh, right. What was that?
It's called Grand Celestial Do, which is the fighting art of the cosmos.
Okay, well, you can take over, Helen. I was looking for something that I thought was sensible, but it turns out Sifu is just messing around.
It's completely true. The guy who teaches this art believes it is. Anyway.
So what's so special about the grand fighting art of the cosmos?
Well, I don't know, really.
Well, I might check it out on YouTube.
It's a cosmic fighting.
Yeah.
Space.com.
It's what? Hang on, let's have a
www.
Let me get the internet. It takes a while to work on this computer. It's powered by Steam. www. Yes.
Cosmic Fighting.
Cosmic Fighting.
Dot.
Yeah.
At space.
What?
At at.
Yeah.
space.
At space.
Dot com.
Right. You know, before the internet.
Yeah.
What did nutters do? Well, how did they express themselves? They used to walk up and down the street shouting, didn't they, I think, because,
shouting, you know, just, I think,
hang on, that's not what...
Phone calls
Cosmic
well.
Fight, but you don't get dirty phone calls anymore, do you?
Where my sister works, I do.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, the heavy breathing?
Yeah, my sister's got this, this, like, hair salon.
Yeah.
And he's, like, opposite a pub, with, like, the phone numbers above.
Right.
All day long, like, drunk people are, like, hassling them all day.
And phoning up for... No, cosmicfighting@space.com.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. A-T?
Yeah.
I want to see this dude now. I want to phone him up and give him heavy breathing.
Hang on. Type in this on the internet, then. Grand...
What?
Do a Google search for this.
Yeah.
Grand... Now I'm going to spell this next word.
Yeah.
C-E-L.
C-E-L.
E-S.
Yeah.
T-I-A-L.
Right, celestial.
Yeah.
Why don't you just say celestial? I know how to spell celestial.
Sorry.
I can spell celestial.
Space do, D-O. You can spell that as well, can't you?
Grand celestial do.
Yeah, do that, and then you should find him. I don't know why that address isn't working, so I've got it on my screen.
Grand celestial do, no BS martial arts. This... BS is amazing. Man kidnapped by aliens. Hang on, this looks nice.
Wait till you see a picture of him as well. He does look like the
the type.
The Caucasian grandmaster.
Oh, this computer's oh no, that's not him. No, Grand Celestial Do. Hey you, if you're reading this message because you haven't. Oh no, it won't let me get in there. Oh, hang on a second. It's not, let's find another one. The website for Grand Celestial Do. Here we go. No theories, no nonsense. Just, oh. It's a question that has riled many internet message boards. Where does the fighting style come from? Japan, China, Thailand, Korea, Brazil? Well, argue no more, internet famers. The best martial arts comes from outer space.
There you go.
Oh, there we go.
I think I've been on the wrong path with this Kung Fu game.
Oh, man, this is fantastic. In 1976, George Saulsbury was abducted by a UFO. Having spent 11... Hang on a minute, we need some music for this, don't we? This is too good.
We do. Maybe a little X-Files.
Oh, yeah, hang on, where is my X-Files? Oh, all I've got is this.
That'll do.
George Saulsbury was abducted by a UFO. Having spent 11 years on the alien's planet, he acquired the knowledge of a revolutionary fighting system. Grand Celestial Do... The Fighting Art of the Cosmos. His mission is to spread this new art to everyone on Earth. Are you ready for the future? You know I'm ready for it, man. I'm clicking here to enter. Wait, it's just some fat old bull bloke. It's just some fat... It's like my granddad.
You know.
Oh man! Oh,
listen to this bit. I came back to Earth after 11 years. I saw my parents. They didn't recognise me. But after I convinced them who I was, they were overjoyed and started crying. Anybody can check with the local county police.
To
make sure I was missing.
Why do you call the aliens that took you to their planet the visitors? Do they have a name? Their race does have a name.
They have a telepathic name, not a verbal name.
That's it. And that's another thing. This Grandmaster, he claims that they only communicate with telepathically.
Well, I've just started reading Slaughterhouse-5 again yesterday, the best book ever written. It's got similarities to that guy. In the Billy Pilgrim can only communicate with the aliens telepathically.
What else?
I think he's nicked it from them.
Who knows, eh? Who knows?
Well, I think we know that. Well, no, let's not say. Who does know? Let's keep the mystery alive.
I certainly don't doubt him.
Well, Sifu, thanks for letting us know you wear dungarees.
You're welcome.
Yeah, good lads. There we go. Andrew's in the Walthamstow. Hey, Andrew.
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Doctor Who, but after listening to the Professor, I had to call you.
It's good, wasn't it? Really made me think.
I've went to a lecture he had done in Kingston University last year.
Yeah.
He's the most unassuming person I've met in a long while.
Yeah.
He's actually, you know, he's the only one person I've met that actually believes in it, has not seen a UFO.
Yeah. And he's very frustrated by that.
Yes. Yeah, I would, yeah, so would you be, but he's such a nice man.
Mm.
But getting on to Doctor Who.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? I've not seen the last one yet, so don't tell me.
I won't tell you, but there is a piece in it, you probably know already, sort of thing, but John Sims, Master, absolutely brilliant.
Isn't he great? He's brilliant, because he's got, like, the sense of humour, and he's got all... He's just superb.
You wait to the last one, mate.
Oh.
When the Doctor's in the wheelchair, there's music...
Whoa, don't tell me! No! The Doctor's in a wheelchair! I've got to cut you off! I already know more than I wanted to, line one.
If you see something strange tonight, it's probably the wife.
Doctor's in a wheelchair? Well, don't tell me that! Oh, for goodness sakes. Mary's in Camden.
Right. I saw two UFOs.
Oh, God.
No, you know how cynical I am.
Yeah, well,
If I see a ghost, I'll be happy, because I want to know something exists.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going across Hampstead Heath.
Yes.
It was a lovely night. I was with a friend, Robert, and I said, look at that star. It's very bright tonight, isn't it?
Oh, Robert.
No, my friend.
Oh, Robert.
Very, very bright.
Yeah, Robert was bright. Yeah.
Oh, for God. And as the star was, I said, oh, it's a beautiful, it's a helicopter, it's a plane. So as we went through the field, I turned round and there was this very bright object had followed us. And it sort of hovered over me, and I looked round and I said, oh, look, it's another one. I said to Robert, oh, it can't be. It must be a kite, because there was no sound.
Yeah.
And it was quite low.
Oh.
And that, as I was underneath it, it seemed time stood still.
Yeah. Oh.
I was quite sober by that time.
Yeah, I was about to say, was this in the days when you used to like a drink?
It off towards, what's that hospital? The World Free Hospital.
And this is, so you, because you did like a drink in the old days.
Yeah, but I mean, I was sober in those. I mean, I used to do bouts of, what's that word? Not drinking, and then you go on a binge.
Binge drinking.
I'm a binge drinker.
Binge drinking.
That's what's kept me alive.
Okay.
And to this day, I said they gave me some good rays.
Well,
I mean, I am cheating death already.
Well done, Mary. I've got to go. It's time for the news. 70-90-90-973. We bloggers. I didn't even have to ask for a blog. One has just appeared. That's from. Is it from Peter in Brazil again? He is good. He is good. Both him and Am do the best blogs all the flipping time, but that's brilliant. Okay. 0870-9090-973. Last 30 minutes of the show. Clyde Ball's on at 10 o'clock. I'm assuming Bill Buckley is on tonight, I would imagine. Oh, Helen, you're very naughty. My mind is going, oh, yeah, with dungarees, travel sickness. You can carry on talking about UFOs if you want to. Or anything else, the last 30 minutes. Anything new... you want to throw into the mix, you're more than welcome to. Don't phone up and tell me about what happens in the last episode of Doctor Who, though. Don't do that. Chris.
Hello, Ian. How you doing?
I'm good.
Oh, good, mate. Nice to speak to you. I don't normally agree with you, but today, I must say, I'm astounded by that guy, the UFO man.
Joe Lavens?
Yeah, unbelievable, mate.
Yeah, very, very inspiring man, yeah.
Absolutely. I was camping once, similar scenario, and heard this... I was just unreal. I was, like, just heard this rustling noise outside.
Yeah.
And I went into the bushes, and I just heard, like, friends. I couldn't make it out, yeah?
Yeah.
Just freaked me out, mate. And just want to say good on you. Top show.
Chris, thanks very much for that. Appreciate
it. Cool, mate. Cheers.
Cheers, fella. There we go. Superb. Leo's in the Dagenham.
Good evening.
Good evening, Leo.
You all right?
Yeah.
For people who were listening to the beginning of the show and etc., I would like to give you two internet links for, like, information. The professor was okay, but I think that he could have had a little more, and he knows more also.
Well, we only had him for an hour, Leo, and he said what he could. The thing is that he was getting quite a bit of flack from some of the callers, but we're definitely going to try and get him in again.
So, for everybody who's interested, I am, like, really on internet for a long, long time
Yeah,
now.
Leo, I can't really understand what you're saying. It's very muffled there.
Can you hear me better now?
Ever so slightly.
So, I would recommend one address called ufoevidence.org
yep.
for everybody to make their own
mind. Okay, I'm not, without being rude... just giving out websites isn't particularly exciting radio, I'll be honest.
Of course, of course. In that case, I have seen one UFO myself, so I base all what I know about them on that experience, and I try to find information about everybody who can, as I said, sum up information and fairly serious is...
Well, Leo, did you enjoy the hour with the professor?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
There we go, good lad. Thank you for that. Veronica.
Oh, hello. Is that Ian Lee on LBC?
Yes, it is.
Hello, Ian. I'm calling from a group of alien sanctuaries that we run in Hampshire.
What?
I'm very concerned about the...
group of what?
Alien sanctuaries.
Sanctuaries?
Yes, that's right. I'm the manageress of an alien sanctuary. We have a number of them around the southwest of England. Uh-huh. As you know, it's quite a popular area with our friends.
Right.
From,
Robertson Turnpike Lane. If people are going to take the mic, I might as well just go home. I'll put
hello,
them side
Ian.
One at close to the edge by yes, and I'm going home and having a pizza. Yes, Robert?
Hello, Ian. She's crazy, isn't she? What I wanted to ask you was...
She had a sexy voice, though, let's be honest. Her voice was sexy, but,
Yeah, but alien sanctuary, donkey sanctuary, but
donkey
alien.
Sanctuary, yes.
Crazy. What I was going to ask you is, when you're flicking through the telly, yeah, and you suddenly see a band that you don't
know. We said we don't get any heavy breathers anymore. We've got one now.
Yeah, I've just run up the stairs. Sorry.
Okay. Are you sure you've just run up the stairs?
Yes, apologies.
Okay. Yeah, so if you're flicking through the telly.
Yeah, and you see a band you don't like, you keep it on that channel so you can hate them even more.
You
watch bands you don't like just so you can hate them even more.
Yes, I quite often, if I'm flicking through, for example, I see Oasis, I watch them...
I have to say, it wasn't really popular, but Oasis is one of my favourites to hate.
Oh, yeah, exactly, and they're good because they're good to watch, because, as well, you can just go... Look at them. And they just ripping off the bit. Look at that Muppet. Where is he? He's only got one eyebrow.
We have quite a lot in common because I really enjoy hating them more than I enjoy hating the others.
I enjoy hating ISIS more than I enjoy hating any other bands.
Yes. I wasn't actually sure whether you liked them or not.
No, I hate them. They're rubbish. But we're not going to... Robert, don't take this as an invitation to come round. We're not going to hang out.
No.
You know that, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, as long as you're aware of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, my little boy wants to know if you like dinosaurs.
What?
My little boy wants to know if you like dinosaurs.
I prefer... Do you know what? I actually fell out with a friend of mine.
Mm.
Because we argued what was best, dinosaurs or spaceships. I must admit, I prefer... it's spaceships.
Yeah. Well, we haven't gone into them yet. He just suddenly came out at the breakfast table the other day. Does Nick Ferrari like tea, and do you like dinosaurs?
Well, tell him I quite like dinosaurs, but I prefer spaceships.
I'll tell him in the morning.
Excellent, Robert.
And one other thing, belly button fluff.
Yes?
Never in my 43 years of being a being have I ever had it, and I wonder, is it just a myth? It's around by foolish people, and other people say they have had it because they don't feel left out.
We're laughing at Robert, but he could be one of the great wise philosophers. I have never had belly button fluff.
No, I think it's a myth.
Maybe it only happened in the old days because old clothes were made out of different materials.
Possibly.
It's just a theory. It's just a theory.
I haven't seen it that way, but it's a thought to ponder on.
Well, Robert, thanks for those wise questions. I think we're all certainly a little bit wiser now.
I think so.
Thank you, Robert.
You'll feel best for it.
Thank bye-bye. What a nice fella. I'm going to try this. Line 5 on the wireless.
Hello, yeah.
Yep.
What are you saying? You right?
What do you mean, what am I saying?
Well, you're up to, isn't
it? I'm doing a radio show, mate.
Yeah, I know, but it's all busy in that, yeah?
Yeah.
I want to talk about UFOs.
Yeah.
How do we know they exist? Hello?
Yeah.
How do we know that?
I'm going to respond when you ask me a sensible question.
Why?
Like I said, I'm going to respond when you answer me a sensible question.
Okay. Do you believe
that UFOs exist?
Yes, I do.
Why? Is there anything, like, you've seen one, or...
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
What does it look like?
A cigar shape with three dots floating around it.
Seriously?
Yes.
Nah, you know what? Cutting you off.
Okay, well, I believe he buoyed me, is the popular phrase. Stanley!
Oh, good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Stanley.
Ian, I don't like telling you, I'm 76, Ian. And this
you don't like telling me that, but yet it's the first thing you told me.
No, that's true. That's very funny. Ian, about 1966, 1967, yeah. I was...
The World Cup and Sergeant Pepper.
Yes, the World Cup, yeah, I remember it well. I was coming from the Everyman's cinema, and they were cutting through Parliament Hill Fields. Now, this is very... It was all over within minutes. As I was walking down this pathway in Parliament Hill Fields...
You got mugged?
No, I wasn't drinking, because I don't... I wasn't drinking, I never smoke anyway. That's beside the point.
I believe that LSD was very popular in those years you mentioned.
It was funny, strange enough. I mean, I was in the... in that era of... they had all these things going, but I was never... I never took any drugs.
You never took LSD and went to a swinging party with a pop star?
No.
Wow.
I was a bit of a bohemian.
Yeah.
You know, demonstrations and all that sort of thing. But I've never taken any drugs, I never smoked. But
well done, you. Good one.
Again.
Well done.
And to get to the point, Ian...
Yes, please.
As I was walking down this pathway, suddenly I just looked up, and it was a circular... I mean, it was like the lady previously mentioned that lady... I know you thought she was a bit of a drinker or whatever, and she seemed someone hovering very low,
Hovering.
You're hovering.
Yeah. Was it hoovering?
Yeah, hoovering.
Was it hovering or hovering?
Well, it seemed about, it was about 15, 20 feet up. Now, this is a strange thing about, as I was looking up,
yes.
There was lights and there was footsteps behind me, and I looked behind, there was a policeman. This is true from Muslim Hill Police Station.
Yeah.
So that's up in Hampstead. And he came to me and he said, "What was that?" Suddenly, it veered away. Honestly, this is... Because this is the strangest thing ever happened to me in my life.
Yeah.
It was about 1966, 1967, and he said, "I'm going to follow that." Now, the strange thing about it, Ian, is I just walked on home. And I don't know why, instead of hanging about to see what the policeman said.
You bottled it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. To this day, Ian, I've always wanted to go to the Roslyn Hill Police Station in Hampstead to find out more about this policeman.
Well, he's probably dead now.
Well, yeah, I'm 76. Do you think he'd be dead too? He's about the same age as me, maybe.
Well, he could be.
Well, if he didn't drink or smoke, he probably could be still living.
It was 40 years ago, Stanley. Why have you waited 40 years to try and investigate this?
Well, no, the point is, but Ian, I've told this story about a week ago on Clive's radio, but people scoff.
Yes.
Because I think if you live a life, surely to God, there's strange things do happen.
Strange things happen. They do, Stanley.
You know,
well, thanks for sharing that
with us. It's not very convincing, I'm sorry I was not convinced, but I did see something
here. Well done, okay. Wish you told me at the start of that, you told that on Clive's show a week ago, then I feel like I've been cheated. If I wanted to do that story, I could have got a podcast. Thank you, Stanley. James. Oh, God. James?
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, I'm fine, are you there now?
Yeah, I am. Okay. Sorry, you're busy, I didn't...
When I said your name, I wasn't busy. I was expecting you to respond immediately.
Okay, all right. Hi, how you doing? I just wanted to ask you, earlier on I was listening to you sort of speaking about a professor, and I got distracted, and when I come back to you, you were saying something about him being your mate, and you've actually got him on the show for an hour.
Yeah.
I missed the in-between. Can you
Some idiot called Andrew from Peckham, from South London, Peckham, SE15... was accusing the professor of not being very good, and so I was being sarcastic and said, "Well done, Andrew, you've busted me for the last hour of the show.
I've had my mate
sat here, and we've made it all up, because that would be really funny, wouldn't it?" But no, he was a real professor, otherwise I'm not going to waste an hour of my time, Helen's time, Alex's time, and all of the listeners' time by just messing around with something as serious as that.
Okay, I mean, we say UFOs exist, however, do you not think that there could be, like, some secret laboratory somewhere carrying out experiments.
James, get the podcast and listen to the last hour of the show. I'm not having the same conversation. I'm turning into James Well, but I'm actually getting genuinely angry, whereas he is faux angry and doesn't actually mean it. But listen to the podcast. I'm not going to go over what we did in between 8 and 9. Vicky!
Hello! It's not Vicky, it's Jeremy Kyle! What?
Oh, Jesus. Flipping it.
I've got a song I can play on the iPod. Hang on a second. Let's play a bit of music, shall we? Because I think we all need to just chill out a little bit. So let's have something. Oh, let's get something nice and relaxed. Let's that would be good. That would be good. I know exactly what we need. We need this. This will relax us all, I think. Here we go. It's the Governor. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ringo Starr.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather since my girl and I ain't together. Keeps raining all the time. Life is bare, gloom and misery everywhere. Stormy weather just can't get my poor self together. I'm weary all the time.
Thanks, Ringo. Traffic news now as well.
Thank you very much on the Underground Rock.
We've just been talking Beatles, which is always fun to do. It's always fun to talk Beatles. 0870 9090 973. It's the last 15 minutes of the show. Clyde Ball's up at 10 o'clock. What have we mentioned so far? UFOs, dungarees, travel sickness, dodgy cab drivers, and belly fluff. And here's the man to talk about it. It's Damien, everyone.
Hey. You don't believe in belly fluff, Ian?
I've never had it.
So you probably don't believe it's true, then?
Well, no, I'm not saying. I'm just saying it, but perhaps it could possibly be a myth, was the point raised by one of the callers. I've never had belly fluff.
I don't think you look in your belly button.
Well, I'm looking at my belly button now. There's no belly fluff, no.
Well, I've just pulled some out. So, basically, if I send it to you...
No! I will not sign it. I'm not going to sign your belly fluff.
No, you don't need to sign that. You can keep that in a jar, but
no.
You need to sign my mouth, Matt.
No, I'm not signing them. I think Clive sent them out now.
Oh, crack it. I'll send you one back.
No, I'm not going to sign it. I've decided.
It's abuse, anything.
I've decided.
Or idiot, or whatever.
No, I've decided that I'm going to charge my autograph from now on.
How much do you want?
A fiver.
That's all right. I'll see how much we get on eBay, and I'll give you a percentage.
What you should have done, if you'd have thought this out properly, is get Bob to get each of them signed by a different presenter, put them on eBay, and see who got the most money.
I did do that, Ian.
Did you?
Yes.
Did what?
I asked Bob to get people to sign them.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, has he done it? Well, no, he hasn't. He hasn't asked me, and I actually see Bob every
day. I actually asked him not to ask you, because he was... No, I didn't, actually. But he got Clive to sign it, and I think...
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather, since my babe and me ain't together, keeps raining all the time.
Job,
oh, hang on a second. It's Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello. I'm just remembering that I forgot to do anything about getting those mouse mats signed, and I've already sent them out.
Oh, Bob!
I'm really sorry.
If I send them back with a return stamped address on them...
No, you can't do that.
I'm asking Bob, not you, Ian. So, Bob's the boss.
Yeah, you can send one or two of them back, and I'll get Clive to sign
them. Oh, fantastic. You are a star, Bob.
Don't,
you
Bob!
As well, please?
Bob, don't pander up to Damien's needs. First of all, he's a weirdo. Secondly, his cleaner is rubbish. Thirdly,
no,
he's already got...
My cleaner's the best.
He's not as good as mine. He's got 15 mouse mats. That's plenty.
Yeah, I know, but I did promise that I'd get them signed, and I've completely forgotten about it.
And unlike you, Ian, Bob lives up to his promise.
He will still make, I promise you, out of those mouse mats, he will still make 50 or 60 quid.
I think I will.
Yeah.
That was sort of the point of the competition, I thought.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks, Bob.
All right, bye.
Ian, I've got to get this one out before I've been meaning to say this for ages.
What?
I listen on the internet, and every now and again it goes slow, yeah?
Yeah, it does. It's weird, that, isn't
right?
it?
Right? You sound like Jeremy Clarkson. Slow it down about 15%, and you are Jeremy Clarkson.
Well, maybe I should. Well, that sounds pretty cool. Well, no, it doesn't. He's an idiot, isn't he?
I think he's okay.
He's all right. I don't really watch Top Gear. I've never watched Top Gear.
Nah,
I don't agree in it.
Okay, well, you always have rubbish cars, that's why.
That's right. Thank you, Damien.
You're welcome.
Here we go. Chris.
Hello, mate.
Hello.
You know, I had an affair with an alien. Do you want to...
No. So,
I'm not messing around with this tonight. You know, this really isn't. Eddie. Eddie. Yeah, you're on the radio, mate. But is it? Could you pick up? Are you in the same room as the phone?
Sorry. Hello.
That's better. I couldn't hear what you were saying.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Well, do you know the audio clips you got?
Yes.
I've got the video clip of one of those audio clips.
Which one?
The one I think is where he's going. Oh my gosh! I think it's the, you can hear the woman saying it.
Oh yeah.
Right. It's what it is. It's I think it's a helicopter crew as they pass the Twin Towers.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. You seen that one? Yeah.
Yeah.
That one I'm not too sure about, but I've got another one. I was just saying to your producer here. Yeah. It's of the plane, of one of the planes crashing as it goes in. It's all in slow motion.
Oh, into the Twin Towers?
Yeah, the Twin Towers. Crashing, yeah. In, from one angle, yeah. In front of it, you see this black streak, yeah. Going, I don't know how fast it was going, but the whole video is clipped in slow motion, apart from this black streak.
Yeah.
So how that happened, I don't know. But what I was going to say is can you text me your postal address and I'll
text you?
Yeah, I can't
send you a text.
Oh, why? Sorry.
Helen, is your phone on? Could you send Eddie a text?
No, just your postal address.
Don't, he'll be phoning you up asking you for dinner and films and
no,
things.
No, I'll be doing that.
Eddie, well, it's the Bramley, what is it? Chrysalis Building, Bramley Road, London.
Bramley Road, London, yeah?
Chrysalis Building, Bramley Road, as in the apples, yeah. London.
Yeah, what I'll do is I've got a load of video clips of UFOs. I've got one that will take your breath away.
Okay, well, send them now.
I'll turn. So, Christmas Building, Bramley Road, London.
That's the fella.
All right, mate.
Cheers, Eddie. Yeah. Bye-bye, bye. Good lad. Okay, let's rattle through these. Larry.
Hello, Ian.
Yes.
How are you, sir?
Good.
The other night you mentioned that as a teenager you saw the Buddy Holly story a few times.
About 8 times, yeah. I was obsessed with it.
I had the great opportunity of meeting the Holly family, and I can see, by the way, how you might be obsessed with that play.
But I got well into Buddy Holly. I think, do you know, and I've realised I haven't got any Buddy Holly on CD a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to rectify that, but I'm going to treat myself to getting a stack load of it, because I think he's brilliant.
Oh, I think he had the greatest musical mind of all time.
Whoa, hold your... I think Brian Wilson,
I know,
perhaps.
That it is a pretty hefty statement, but... I think
it was definitely at the time very innovative, and they're brilliant songs, and he's got a brilliant voice, and I like his guitar playing, and you know.
You might find this story interesting. How I got the opportunity.
Please
to
do. Please tell
family.
Me.
In 1999, the city of Lubbock finally honored him with creating a museum. They turned an old Santa Fe railway station into the Buddy Holly Center.
Yeah.
But actually, only half of it is for Buddy. The other half is for West Texas musicians.
Okay.
And you might find this of keen interest because you're a guitarist yourself.
Vaguely.
They purchased from his widow, Maria Elena, his 1958 Gibson J200, which he used on his final recordings, which we call his apartment recordings. He made them in New York City, which, by the way, have yet to be released in their original form.
Right.
That's part of the lawsuit the family has with MCA. But anyway, the tuners, the buttons are made out of celluloid, and Gibson did not know at the time that it would be unstable over time.
Yeah,
just like those films, early films made in Hollywood. They're now trying to save them because the celluloid is disintegrating. But anyway, after a nationwide search to find someone to repair the guitar, my friend got the job.
And fantastic!
That it was unbelievable. Dreams come true. And he knew that I was a fan, and he asked if I wanted to come down to Lubbock and be a gopher, you know, go get something at the store if he needed it. And I said, sure, and I knew I would enjoy meeting the family, but not to this extent. We hit it off very well. His brother Travis builds guitars as a hobby, and he built me a beautiful guitar.
Wow.
And
it's cool.
His niece, Sherry, is magnificent.
Don't tell me she fell in love with you.
No, she's presently married to a very fine gentleman.
Okay.
They're a wonderful couple, and by the way, I would love to introduce you to Sherry, Buddy's niece, and she's told me some wonderful stories.
Wow, yeah, hook me up with the Holly family anytime.
Oh, I'd love to. They'd be honored to speak to you, and they're very down to earth, and they treated me quite nicely. They allowed me to speak about anything that I wanted to, and of course that led to the accident, and me and his older brother sort of actually had differing opinions.
The accident? Larry, stay there. We'll find out what the accident was after this.
We are.
Larry, I've only got about 30 seconds before the end of the show. What was the accident?
Oh, well, the plane crash, of course.
Oh, his plane crash. I thought, okay, well, okay, right, yes, of course. Larry, listen, I've got to go, but it's a pleasure talking to you. Do call again, won't you?
I sure will.
Thank you very much, man. Fantastic stuff. I'm going to get some Buddy Holly this weekend. No, I'm going to treat myself to that. Steve, you're the last caller on my show.
Hello, Darian. Good evening.
Good evening, Steve.
Now, well, I've just got one answer, I think, for the professor.
Yes.
You know when him and his wife-to-be were in the separate tent?
Yeah.
And then there was the strange humming, and she was wide open, wide-eyed and boggle-eyed.
Yeah, steady on, steady on, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think they could have been alien rabbits?
It's an idea, Steve. I lied, you're not the last caller on the show tonight. You are, line one.
And the answer is a cigar-shaped object.
Okay, well, there we go. I think that's pretty much there. And the switchboard is empty. The lights are growing dim. It's my stomach's starting to rumble. It's time for us to slowly make a move and head out of this place and go to another place, get something to eat, slowly drive home, let Clive Ball come in and do his show. If you miss my show tonight, it sounded a lot like this. Who is Gary Schiffman?
Gary Schiffman! Gary Schiffman!
Two small tomatoes and a cucumber.
Hello, why is the monkey in the fridge?
Is it because Gary Schiffman put in there?
Yes, definitely.
Come on, you've tried on your missus' underwear, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, I've done all that, of course.
For the next 45 minutes, maybe we can persuade him to stay a little bit longer. I've got a special guest, Professor Joseph Lavens. You are a believer of UFOs.
Right.
Whoa! Whoa!
Right there.
Whoa!
Right there.
Whoa!
Right
What's
there.
Going on there?
He's seeing something, isn't he?
Yes, sir. Yes, he is.
There was one big one and two small ones. And I said to my lady friend, look at that.
Which was it throbbing at all?
This is the last bit of the end. This last bit of the end. Hear that throbbing?
Were you anally probed?
No, nothing like
No. Would you like to be?
Okay, we come in peace.
Do it, we come in peace.
No, I'm not gonna.
Just try.
We come in peace.
Hey, Richard, how's it going?
Hello, I'm going well.
What can I do for you?
Can I speak to Clive?
Ah, but it's still my show.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Well, what shall I say? I'm very glad to be on your show, but I hope it won't kill my call to Clive.
Oh, well, I can't speak for Clive there, I'm afraid. It's out of my hands. But do try again. That's it. I'm back. Is it Friday tomorrow? Oh, sweet. Back tomorrow at 7. Clive Ball's up next. Is there something else I was going to say? No, that'll do. Thank you. Good night.